this afternoon by having the discussion and testimony on the circuit court judgeship. And I would like to call first on Mr. Frank Van Dyke from the Bar Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Committee of Judiciary of House of Representatives. My name is Frank J. Van Dyke. My address is 110 East 6th Street, Medford, Oregon. I am a member of the Oregon State Bar Committee on Judicial Administration and assigned the responsibility of coordinating the testimony in support of the two bills in which the Committee on Judicial Administration is particularly interested at this time. There are other bills of concern to us, but my particular responsibility deals with the two bills relating to the Circuit Court, which is House Bill 2221, and District Court House Bill 2216. The bills as presented conform to the form of bill which was adopted by the Oregon State Bar at its annual meeting at Bend, Oregon in the fall of 1974, and does represent the official position of the bar with reference to the several judicial positions therein set forth. Now, with reference to the Circuit Court Bill, our Bar Association, at page 143 of the Oregon State Bar Committee report, I think I noticed that all of you seem to have one by your desk at your table there. It recites the priorities which have been assigned to the Circuit Court, and if I would briefly review that. We recommend the appointment of two new Circuit Court judges for Lane County, the 2nd Judicial District, one Circuit Court judge for the 2nd District, Marion County, an additional judge for Clackamas County, and another judge for Deschutes, Cook, Jefferson, Wheeler, Gilliam, and Grant counties. And these references are set forth in Exhibit 2, our committee report, and this committee report was approved by the Oregon State Bar. We have also gone on and assigned priorities to this, and if the committee is of interest, the first priority goes to the 11th District, Deschutes, Cook, Jefferson, Wheeler, Gilliam, and Grant. I wish to point out that in the interest of consistency, this committee may have before it another bill, a different bill, in which there's a different assignment of counties to this judicial district. But I think this represents the official position, as I understand it, of the Central Oregon Bar Association, but there are representatives of the Bar Association here, and you may wish to question them on that point, because that is not a part of the official position of the State Bar. In order to avoid confusion, I wish to relate to the committee the fact that as a bar committee, we are bound by this, you understand. That does not mean that we necessarily oppose or support other ramifications that undoubtedly will come before you. I know that Polk County has a bill, and there is another bill from my own county, Jackson County, and I certainly would hate to be recorded as opposing anything from Jackson County. But our official bar position is not in support of this, and I just want to make that clear. Now, our priorities give Deschutes the first, then Lane County, then Marion County, then another judge, the second judge for Lane County, which we have long recognized as one of the sore points in the state. And then finally, the fifth priority goes to Clackamas County. That concludes my testimony on that. Now, do you want me to elaborate on the other, Mr. Chairman, or?
What we would like to do is keep all the testimony on the circuit court hardships, and when we
concluded
that, then continue with this.
May I call Judge Roland K. Rodman, presiding circuit judge, Lane County, to speak on the Lane County bill, please?
Judge Rodman, if when you come forward, you would identify yourself for the record.
I have some material I'd like to hand off to the committee members, if I may. Roland K. Rodman, one of the circuit judges in Lane County. I think this, I don't like to call it a brochure because it sounds rather commercial, but this material in the pamphlet sets forth the reasons that we feel in Lane County that we should have two additional circuit judges. Let me say first, as has been said by Mr. Fandike, this has the support of the Oregon State Bar, it has the support of the Lane County Bar Association, of the State Court Administrator's Office, and of the Lane County Commissioners. I mentioned the latter Lane County Commissioners because we will have the facility for two additional judges by July 1st. They're starting construction now on two additional courtrooms, and the county is committed to finishing those and to furnishing staff. The reason for the request basically is what I think all of us are going to say is the increase in case filings that's occurred and the increase in the amount of time that's required to invest in each case, particularly the criminal cases, since the various developments both in legislative changes and in court changes in criminal law in the last few years. Now, looking to our rise in case filings on page 6 of this material, we see that going from 1969 to 1974, a five-year period, that we've had an overall increase of approximately 58% of case filings. And during that period of time, we've only had one additional circuit judge. In 1971, one additional circuit judge position was created. Looking to the breakdown of that, law has had 24% increase, equity 45%. Criminal filings, 156% increase in that five-year period. Dissolutions of marriage, 45% increase. Now, in that five-year period, the average increase per year has been 11.5% over the state at large. In the circuit court, the increase has been between 3.3 and 4%, according to the last figure that I have. So Lane County's caseload is increasing two or three times that of the state at large. The graph on page 7 also illustrates this. We had a fairly uniform rate of increase from 1955 to 69 of 7%. Starting in 69, the percentage has increased greatly, and as I say, is now over 11% per year. The cases, page 8, indicates the cases filed per judge. We have 6 judges now in Lane County, and that shows our case filings divided by those 6 judges. And that contains, in addition, a projection of case filings through 1977, the next time that the legislature would have an opportunity to consider the need for additional judges, and shows for 1974 case filing of 905 cases per judge, and then based again upon this projection, which is held steady for the past five-year period, by 1977, if we didn't have additional judges, we would have a case filing per judge of 1,218 cases, which is, I believe, substantially above anything that any county or judicial district in Oregon has ever had, and certainly much more than we believe that judges can handle. And then it goes onto a projection of cases per judge based upon seven judges if we had a seventh judge created by the legislature. And it shows the filings and the projections 75, 76, and 77. And assuming that the legislature saw fit to create two additional judges, by 1977, we would still have more cases filed per judge than we have now. And which brings us to the backlog that's building up in cases filed and in delay from time of filing until time of trial. And on page 9, we see that backlog. And again, that's a 5-year period. 1969, we had total cases pending of 2,300 and a few. In 1974, 3,690. Now, this is a 60% increase in that 5-year period of time. This is of total cases pending. Criminal cases pending, you'll notice just about the same thing. You'll note that in 1971, there was some drop in the cases pending, and this was a direct result of the creation of the sixth additional judge. And then by 72, it started on its upward course again and has continued. I think perhaps the most important figure here, and perhaps of all these, other than months delay from filing to trial, is the bottom column there, which is cases at issue and awaiting trial. In 1969, we had 652. Today we have 1,369 cases. Now these are which is a 108% increase. This is to be distinguished from the total cases that are on file, some of which were filed yesterday, have no answer, some of which were filed 2 years ago and are ready for trial. These are the cases that have had either in criminal cases a not guilty plea entered and are awaiting trial, or civil cases where there's a certificate of readiness filed and the case is awaiting a trial date. And that it's in this area that the increase has been most significant. As I say, 108% increase in that backlog. This increase has been fairly steady over the years since it started back up in 1971 after we got the sixth judge. I mentioned delay in trial, and that is shown on page 5. Median delay from filing of a case until the trial. And I won't recite all those figures, but it's broken down into law, criminal, equity, and dissolution of marriage. And you can see that in 1969, with the exception of criminals, we were significantly less in all categories. And today, the end of 1974, the delay in law is 12.5 months and steadily getting worse. In criminals, it's 4 months, and this it looks to me as though it's going to go to 5 months, which would be the worst in the state. Equity is up to 9 months, and dissolutions of marriage, 12 months. Now, looking at the material that I was able to receive from the State Court Administrator's Office for the first three quarters of 1974, in criminals, Baker County is the only county that has as long a delay as 4 months. In law and equity, which are grouped together in the state figures, Polk and Yamhill have a 12 to 14 month delay, and no other county or judicial district has as much delay as Lane County does in dissolution. And in all civil cases, as distinguished from criminal, our delay is 10 months. Lincoln County is the only county that has a 10 month delay. All of the other counties and judicial districts in the state have less delay than Lane County in all those categories, except for the exceptions that I have mentioned. Now, in past sessions, when I've been before this committee, the question's always been asked, what is Lane County doing about the delay itself? What is it doing about its problem? We have for a number of years asked the State Court Administrator's Office for help in the form of pro tem judges and visiting judges. For more than the last year, we have been receiving full-time help in that we have every week of the year at least one visiting judge or pro tem judge. Visiting judges from other judicial districts or lawyers acting as pro tem judges. So we have the equivalent today of 7 full-time judges. In fact, last year, 1974, we had 61 weeks, 9 more weeks than a full year of visiting or pro tem judges. I believe I'm correct in saying that no other county or judicial district has used pro tem judges to this extent. Nevertheless, we're continuing to go behind. Our delay gets greater, and the backlog increases. So we feel that not only do we need an additional judge, circuit judge, full-time in Lane County, but that if we are to attack the delay and the backlog, that we should have 2 additional circuit court judges. And this brings up a question of, is this politically possible today, and how much will it cost? And I did a little study, and I can't guarantee it's complete accuracy, but I think it's relatively accurate. On page 10 of the cost to the state of using pro tem and visiting judges as against the cost of a full-time permanent judge. And that chart shows that the salary of a permanent judge is $29,000, pension contribution approximately $2,000, for about $31,000 cost to the state. Now, there may be some insurance costs, some other costs, I'm not certain of that, but they're not very significant. In Lane County, last year we used a visiting judge 26 weeks, or 30 weeks, and a pro tem judge 31 weeks. So the state Supreme Court, the court administrator's office, was able to send the visiting judges about half the time, pro tem judges about half the time. And so I've shown in this breakdown of costs, the visiting judge for 26 weeks of a 52-week year would cost for the per diem and mileage $4,800. A pro tem judge for the other 26 weeks with the salary of a pro tem judge, the per diem and the mileage come to $19,900, for a total of $24,800 as compared with $31,000 for a full-time permanent additional judge. So rather than it being some $60,000 additional cost if 2 additional judgeships were created in Lane County, there would be only something in the neighborhood of $12,000 to $13,000 additional cost to the state. We feel in Lane County that it's necessary to have this in order to reduce our backlog.
You're going to have to justify that to Ways and Means, probably, yep. And this committee won't be as concerned, I don't think, about the cost feature as being will the necessity of it. Are there questions? Bob,
no, I just had a question of the procedure that you used to prioritize the different judgeships. What procedure did you go through? Did you look at, or what was the biggest criteria of what weight did you attach to the backlog, the length of time, or the number of cases filed for judge?
Well, if you're addressing that to me, I would say it's the backlog and the delay. If your address is to one of the other judges from another district, they might say that the number of cases filed. Because Lane County does not have as many cases filed per judge as several of the counties that are asking for additional judges at this session of the legislature. I don't know how to account for the fact that we seem to take longer to try cases in Lane County. We have more difficulty in this area. I've been told that the bar in Lane County, and we have 2 members of the bar here, I've been told that the bar of Lane County is a very aggressive bar. More cases are tried. More cases are tried in such a manner that it seems to take longer. Now, whether that's accurate, I don't know. But it would seem to me the important thing is how much delay is there in serving justice. But Mr. Van Dyke is the one that was on the committee that...
We felt that the need in Lane County was clearly shown. And we felt that their analysis, they impressed the committee, at least they impressed me with the fact that they weren't just taking the total number of cases filed, they were taking the cases at issue, and that were actually being delayed by reason of this situation. Of course, one of the members of your committee is from Lane County, and while he spends much time elsewhere, I know he gets out the courthouse once in a while. He might be able to give us some insight. Hi, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Darst Atherley, the president of the Lane County Bar Association this year, would be the next witness, Mr. Gribble, sir.
Thanks. Frank, we'll just sort of leave it to you. And
if it's okay, I'll try to carry it through as fast as I can.
That's fine.
Thank you.
I'll be very brief. I'm here not so much because I'm president of the Bar Association, but probably because I probably handle about as many civil cases as anybody in Lane County that is as a lawyer. And I just wanted to make the observation that the judges that we presently have in Lane County are hardworking judges. There has been an increase in filings of about 60%. In the last 5 years. Now, of course, some of that's been taken up by pro tem judges, some of it has been accounted for by backlog, and some of it has been made up just by hard work on the part of the present incumbents. And I think that that no more of the gap can be taken up that way, that we've got hardworking judges there. That's all I had to say, and I thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any questions? Mr. Atherley. Okay.
The next district, I'm just going right down the list of suggestions, Oregon State Bar. The next would be Marion County. Judge Sloper, I assume, sir, you'd be first.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, I'm here in support of House Bill 221 as it pertains to a creation of additional circuit judge in Marion County. There's lots of raw statistics, which you have access to, and I will neither bore you or take up your time with any long analysis of them. There are a couple of things that I think are significant and that I would like to direct your attention toward. First, on the basis of cases filed by judge, which is certainly one criteria, not the only criteria of need, in the five-year period from 1970 to 1974, Marion County has increased at an annual rate of 20%. In 1970, we had 2,400 cases filed. In 1974, we had 5,000 cases filed. And that happens to be the largest percentage increase for filings in the state. The terminations per judge, which is another significant figure, I think, indicates that Marion County has increased annually the cases, the terminations by judges in the same period. In 1968, we terminated 520. In 1974, 1,153. I don't think that the judges, my colleagues, and myself can continue to increase the terminations or the cases tried any further than we have. I think we're working at 100% capacity now, and it's actually only because of the industry and the dedication of the judges that we've been able to do that. Another significant statistic, I think, is the number of cases tried per judge. And over the same period of time, Marion County has ranked either first or second, I think, each quarter of every year on the basis of cases actually tried per judge. The other very important thing that I would like to call your attention to is the unique position that Marion County occupies in the judicial system because of the state business that we handle that other counties do not. Among those things are business from the penitentiary and from the correctional institutions. I just received a report this morning from my court administrator, and on habeas corpus and post-conviction, this last year we had 209 filings, the previous year 129. We go back only to 1971 and there were 58, so that's 200% increase in 3 years. Those things are all troublesome cases. They aren't the, well, you never settle a post-conviction case or habeas corpus. It's got to be processed, it's got to be tried, and it takes from one to, I suppose, maybe four appearances by the petitioner before a case can be terminated. We also, because the state hospitals here in Marin County, this would apply also to Clackamas County and Umatilla County, we're required now to go to the hospital in every 180 days and to have a re-examination or hearing on the person who appears to have been committed. I think it was in December that took one of our judges' time, complete time, for 1 week on these re-examinations out at the state hospital. We also have such matters as the open records law, election law cases, of one kind or another. And one area that I think we're going to see an increase in cases, and these cases are most difficult and time consuming, are rate increase cases from the utilities. I think we have maybe three now pending that have been consolidated for purposes of trial and disposition, but I anticipate that there will be new and additional rate hearings. As I say, they're long involved process. There's a huge transcript that comes from the Public Utility Commissioner's office. There's additional days, sometimes weeks of testimony, and then they're very knotty and difficult problems for termination. Those are things that we have that are peculiar to Marin County. And according to my best estimate, gentlemen, the state business that's generated in Marin County on an annual basis would take the time, full time, of one circuit judge. One judge does not handle all the state-related things, but it would take that amount of time. I think that's about all I had in mind. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Questions of Judge Silver?
I would like to say this. That we can only work, as far as the courts are concerned, with the tools that the legislature provides us. Now, we have in the past been able to do a good job for the citizens of Marin County, and we can only continue to do a good job if you furnish us the tools. By that, I mean an additional judge, so we can continue in that manner. And this isn't something I hope that you would defer, say, until January the 1st, 1976. The need is now. It will be increasing month by month, and if we wait until that time, as happened the last time a new position was created, I think that our backlog would be such that it would be difficult to dig out from under it and ever maintain the relatively good position that we now do.
Do you have a courtroom now available?
We don't have, but that won't be a problem. There are a couple of possibilities. We do have a courtroom that would be available. Marin County, as you know, has a separate Department of Domestic Relations. The increase in that department, whose figures are included in the ones I've given you, are such that it will require one of the judges probably pretty much full-time at the Domestic Relations Department, Juvenile Department, and they have a courtroom there. So we do have a new courtroom that the county furnished about a year ago, which I think would be available for other circuit court business in the courthouse. Long-range program, the courtroom that I happen to presently occupy is a huge courtroom, lots of wasted space, and is large enough and could be made into two courtrooms. The county has always been very helpful and provided us with the physical plant that is necessary. One other thing, that in the event that the legislature would see fit in their wisdom to decriminalize traffic, and I don't want to comment because I don't know if that would happen, whether there'd be a need for an additional district court or not. People who are knowledgeable about that could tell you. If it was not, would be a spare district courtroom that would be available to us in the courthouse. So I don't think that Representative Schultz answered the question that I would anticipate a state problem.
Thank you.
I do not know whether there's anyone else here that would wish to speak for the Marion County Bar Association. Is Mr. Milbank here?
My name's John Brian. I'm president of Marion County.
Yes, if you come, Mr. Brian, please. Thank you. Thank you.
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is John Brian. Address is 792 Connecticut Avenue, Southeast, State of Oregon. And president of the Marion County Bar Association, and I'm appearing here in that capacity. I do not have the statistics, but Judge Sloper has given you the indication of that. The local Bar Association of Marion County has studied this matter in two different ways. The Judicial Administration Committee of the Marion County Bar has assimilated the statistics from the judges and studied the matter independently, and that committee recommended to the Board of Directors of the Bar Association that the bar resolve to support the request for another circuit court judge in Marion County. In addition to that, the Board of Directors of the Marion County Bar Association listened independently of the Judicial Administration Committee's work to the matter and entertained the judges, Judge Sloper and Judge Norblad, last spring, and studied the statistics which were available at that time and independently concluded that there was a need for another Supreme Court judge in Marion County. Based upon the Board of Directors' recommendation and our Judicial Administration Committee's recommendation, we do feel that there is a need for another circuit court judge in Marion County at this time, and we will support this legislation. That concludes my testimony. If there are any questions,
any questions for Mr. Bryan? Right. Thank you.
The next county bar association would be the Clackamas County Bar, and in discussing the matter with one of the representatives of the Bar Association, he wasn't sure whether anyone would be able to be here from Clackamas County with reference to their need for an additional circuit judge, and I do not know because I had no opportunity to check that.
Is there anyone representing Clackamas County Bar here? Apparently not, Mr. Bennett.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I do have supplemental material, I think, in my files, which I will leave with you for the Clackamas County Bar and part of their position. That's agreeable. All right. Now, the next one is the 11th District, Deschutes, Cook, Jefferson, and Wheeler, and Mr. Ron Bryant from Redmond, representing the Central Oregon Bar Association, is here. Ron.
Thank you very much, Frank. Mr. Chairman and members of the judiciary, my name is Ron Bryant. I'm an attorney from Redmond, and I represent the Central Oregon Bar Association and Judicial District Number 11. You've heard Frank mentioned to you that the bar priority listed Judicial District Number 11 on the first priority. Judicial District Number 11 consists of six counties. Now, I've got a handout. I'll pass them around, and I think you're probably all pretty familiar with those Judicial District 11 and the six counties. On the back page is a map which shows so you can get an idea about the area that we're talking about when we talk about Judicial District Number 11. Currently, and ever since I've been practicing for 10 years, there's been two circuit judges. One circuit judge has been based in Bend in Deschutes County, and that's currently Judge Copenhaver, and the other judge has been J.R. Campbell from John Day, which is in Grant County. And those two judges and their predecessors previously covered those six counties, putting on about 25,000 miles a year traveling to the other county seats. The area also has one district judge, which is in Bend, and that position's been in existence since, I believe, sometime around 1955. Getting to the reason why this district number 11 would be a number one priority and what our concerns are is to take a look at what we have shown, a comparison of county by county annual cases filed. And you can see that over the last 6-7 years, the increase has gone up from approximately 1,000 cases a year to 1,654 cases, or roughly 50-60% increase in cases filed in all counties. Without any additional judges having been created. That tremendous amount of caseload does not include, and we put an asterisk, the things such as foreign judgments, reciprocal support, welfare matters, supplemental matters arising out of decrees such as modifications or enforcement of support, or summary determinations arising out of sheriff sales. Nor does it include all the probate or the juvenile jurisdiction which has been conferred upon certain courts in certain of these particular counties. I think Deschutes County now has probate and juvenile jurisdiction in the circuit court, and maybe Crook, but the other four I do not believe have taken over those duties as of yet. Those figures, I think, in looking at them, are the increase, at least, is significant of the amount of work the two judges have been done. I think points up the problems that they have been faced with. In addition, on page two of the handout, we've endeavored to try to show you the comparison attorney judge ratio as of January 1775 for all the counties in eastern Oregon, including Douglas County itself. I mean, if you can see, most of the counties which have two circuit judges and one district judge, or two circuit judges, two district judges, have attorneys ranging from 32 to 36 or 45, and in our judicial district we have 82 attorneys, including three judges. Now, I might note that there is one retired attorney within the district that doesn't practice, so you're really talking about 78 active attorneys that actively file cases and appear before these judges. Now, I think one of the main concerns about the court is that the probate juvenile jurisdiction that's going to be transferred to the circuit court in those other counties are going to increase those loads in the other four counties pretty significantly. Currently, the district judge in Deschutes County handles the probate as a pro tem circuit judge, and he also handles the juvenile matters as a pro tem circuit judge. And as a matter of fact, he handled those in Deschutes County prior to that jurisdiction being conferred upon. But those other counties, when it does get transferred to circuit court, is going to increase the load that much more. Now, going to the counties, and so that you don't think that this issue is supported solely by the attorneys of this six-county area, I would call your attention to the fact that it is supported by the counties. As a matter of fact, Crook and Jefferson County have already placed in their budget the amount anticipated to be needed by them for the third circuit judge. Deschutes County is currently working on theirs, so they haven't actually got into the process, but the discussion has been for them also are planning on putting that money into this budget in anticipation. In addition, Deschutes County is working on a proposal to install a second circuit courtroom in Deschutes County, because currently now, as you can tell by the load of cases, the bulk of the cases are in Deschutes County, or actually, if you put the major four major counties, but most of them are in Deschutes County, so that frequently we'll have both circuit judges sitting trying cases at the same time, utilizing the district court, and they put the district court judge in a jury room or someplace to handle whatever matters he needs to take care of. I would say that there's going to be some discussion about lopping off a couple of counties, Gilliam and Wheeler, and making Judicial District 11 just the four major counties. And I would call your attention to the fact that if you take a look at the cases filed, if you took Gilliam and Wheeler County out of Judicial District 11, you would reduce the 1974 caseload by 53 cases. So you still have 1,601 cases in the other four, and I really don't see that that's going to make an awful lot of difference. Gentlemen, I'm open for questions.
Don? What's the turnaround time in terms of between the time a case is filed and heard about?
Well, from my I do not have the actual figures, and I think Judge Slofer or Judge... My guess is somewhere between 10 to 13 months on civil cases, and I know of some civil cases that are 18 months and 2 years old, and that's not the fault of the judges particularly, but generally speaking, I think 10 to 13 months is about an average time. On criminal cases, 4 to 7 months, depending upon circumstances. They like to try to get them done within 3 months, but it doesn't work out. I don't know how those checks with the actual figures, but that's from my practice and what I was experiencing.
Other questions? No, thank you.
With your indulgence, Mr. Chairman, we'd like to conclude our testimony on the judicial matters with the calling of another witness from Lane County, Mr. Johnson, Art Johnson.
Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Art Johnson. I'm a member of the firm of Johnson, Johnson & Prang & Eugene, and I have a long time interest in the trial of cases and judicial administration. I have been chairman of the State Bar Committee on Procedure and Practice and presently the Committee on the Development of Uniform Jury Instruction. I'd like to endorse fully the comments given to you by Judge Rodman and by Darce Tatherly. I think the need for additional judges, two additional judges in Lane County, is well demonstrated by the specific figures that they have given to you. I think also, though, there's an inherent optimism in all of us that we would like to believe that if we ignore a problem or if we let it stand by briefly, it may go away. I'd like to dispel that because we have taken the time to consult with the Lane Council of Government, with the people in Pacific Northwest Bell, Bonneville Power Administration, Oregon State Highway Division, and others that do studies concerning the growth of population in our in the Lane County area. We know that the court load is not arithmetically related with population growth, but you know as well as I do, it's a very substantial relationship. From 1950 to 1972, we've seen the population of the city and of the county essentially double. We can anticipate from the information furnished from all of these sources, the figures from one source will vary, their average out to show that in the next 12 years, or 12 years, essentially 1985, we can expect that that population in both the city and the county will essentially double again. That is, their forecast will be that in the next 12 or 13 years, it will double as it did in the prior 22 years. We can see also from these figures that if we take the present population growth of the last 4 years in Lane County, it will even exceed that. That is, they're anticipating that the present growth will taper off within the next 13 years, and yet we will achieve those very high population levels. So I think these figures also support the fact that we cannot afford to delay the addition of judges. In the state of Oregon, we have been long proud of our judiciary and the fact that we have very current dockets. We look at the problems in the metropolitan areas with some puzzlement as how did that occur. It occurred because people didn't recognize the problems as they came along, obviously, and I trust this committee and the legislature here will. I think the only way that we can solve the growing docket problems is the addition of these numbers of judges. I don't think that, from my personal experience and observation, you can say that the judges can work longer hours or can increase their output. Judicial work, they're there, they're working, they're handling cases, and there must be time for reflection, research, analysis, this is not the kind of work that can be measured in horsepower or BTUs, but it's work that's essential to the standard of justice and the quality of justice and the quality of life that we have and want to maintain in the state of Oregon. I would like to comment that in discussing this, I talked with James Good, who is an attorney in Albany, with a partner of Good and Decker. Jim is particularly qualified to speak in the Lane County problem because he has pro tem there at two different times, and he has tried a number of cases to verdict in Lane County. I think some 28 in the last 2 years, which is a heavy caseload for one trial attorney. And he intended to be here today, and I received a call just before I left from his family that he was sick with the flu. He regretted greatly that he could not personally communicate with the committee, but asked that I convey his firm belief that two additional judges were needed in Lane County to handle the workload that is there and is reasonably forecasted.
The committee will not object on the grounds of hearsay.
I appreciate that.
Questions, Mr. Jones? Thank you, Eric.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, to my best knowledge, that concludes the Oregon State Bar presentation of evidence in support of House Bill 2221. The court bill.
Thank you, Mr. Van Dyke. Mr. Bunn and I have each prepared amendments to this bill, which incorporate a circuit judge for Mr. Bunn's district and one for mine. And do you want to proceed, Stan?
If I could, Mr. Chairman,
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Representative Stan Bunn, and I represent House District 29 in the legislature. Representative Marks and I have prepared amendments for the committee to consider to House Bill 2221, which would create an additional judgeship for Judicial District 12, Yamhill and Polk County. We want to make it very clear in proposing these amendments that, at least on my part, I'm very supportive of the bar bill. I feel that the judgeships that have been mentioned are essential and necessary, and feel that they should be supported financially in addition to the judgeship that we're requesting. I have handouts. Don, if you could pass out the handouts there on Yamhill and Polk County judgeship, which indicate some of the facts and figures and statistics supporting an additional judgeship. And I'll also pass out at this time the amendments which are proposed. And these amendments are very simple. They just simply change the word 2 to 3, and that takes care of our problem. But I wanted to also indicate today that we have five attorneys from the Yamhill Polk County area present today indicating their support on behalf of the bar associations of the area. Our two judges, Judge Williams from Polk County and Judge Rossman from Yamhill County, are present and prepared to answer any questions you might have. And I would like at this time to ask Mr. Dave Hogelberg, who's president of our bar group from the 12th Judicial District, if he might take my place here and go over with you briefly some of the statistics involved and a graph that he has which will show our concerns concerning this judgeship.
Sure.
Representative Bunn, gentlemen, my name is David Hogelberg. I'm an attorney from McMinnville. My address is Route 1, Box 8, McMinnville. I am the president of the 12th Judicial District Bar Association. We're here today to ask your consideration for the amendment that Representative Bunn has introduced in regards to another circuit judge for the 12th Judicial District Bar Association. The Bar Association has prepared for your benefit a brochure setting forth some of the things that we feel are statistically important in your consideration of our proposal. As Representative Bunn
As indicated, the Bar Association is in favor of this. We have the judges present. They are also in support of this measure. Commissioner Lopezinski from Yamhill County is here to indicate and answer any questions that you might have. We have a number of attorneys, Mr. Shetterly, Mr. Levin, Mr. Brand, Mr. Lehman, Mr. Marsh here, all in support of this measure. They're also available for any questions. I think that one of the important things in the consideration of the committee as to an additional judge is the workload of the present judges and the question of the availability of the court to the citizens of an area. And we feel that Polk and Yamhill County, Judge Williams in Polk County, Judge Rossman in Yamhill County, and they rotate it as necessary, need assistance in their work. If you look at the proposal that we presented on the explanation of the proposal, the district's total caseload has increased from 1965, when 663 cases were filed, until today we have 1,308 cases filed in the district. This is over almost double and it constituted a tremendous burden for the judges. Briefly, in 1965, an additional judge was allocated to the 12th Judicial District. That was when Judge Williams came in as the circuit judge, and then Judge Rossman later after Judge Walker. So since that time, in the last 10 years, you can look at the statistics, what's happened to our cases. We're now at a situation where the two counties combined have a population of 84,000, which is approximately 42,000 people per judge, with a statewide average per judge of some 32,500. I indicated to you the number of case filings that has gone up. I think that you might note that that includes civil, equity, divorce, and criminal. It does not include juvenile cases. It's interesting to note, and I'll get to it on the last page, the number of juvenile matters that the judges are being called upon to handle. The courts have worked very hard, and we wanted this pointed out. As far as the attorneys are concerned, they've terminated from 1966 710 cases per year up to 1,214 cases per year. The courts are trying significantly greater numbers of cases. 1966, they tried 79 cases. In 1974, they were up to 171 cases. And I think it's important to recognize that in both counties, both Judge Rossman and Judge Williams have juvenile and probate matters, also motions. So on Mondays, they hear motions, domestic relation matters. On Friday, they are devoted full-time to juvenile cases, like in Yamhill County. So it leaves them 3 days in which to try this volume of civil and criminal cases that are being filed. We might also point out that the number of cases in the county, in the two counties and districts, which are at issue and ready for trial, has increased from tremendously to where we now have 444 cases pending that are ready to go to trial, with judges that have 3 days a week to try those cases. And if you sit down and mathematically compute how many cases you have to set per day to give those litigants ready to go to court an opportunity to present their positions, it becomes a real problem for the people in our county. We've prepared some diagrams for you, and I think that it probably more graphically shows, and this is for Yamhill County, I mean, I already got tired, as to the graphic index of what's happened in the filing load in a red line, that, and it's a constant and steady increase that's creating this burden on the judges. And we also have one that indicates the comparative level, your benefit, as to the blue line being the increase in the civil docket, the red line being the increase in the criminal docket. And gentlemen, I submit that when you have those kinds of statistical increases that are very graphically portrayed, when you have two judges trying to handle the same type of a load that
9 years ago was only half as much when they were busy. We really have a problem as to the availability of courts in our county. I think one of the prior gentlemen testifying mentioned that Yamhill County was way down the list on completion time of some areas of cases.
I have a question. Sure. I don't like to interrupt you, but
not at all.
To what do you accredit the severe drop in civil cases at that one point in the graph?
Well, I think that the circuit court might answer, the judges are here to answer that, as the question is, in 1973, the drop of civil cases was down to 262.
From 300-plus.
Right, and I really can't give you an answer. It just is one of those things that happened. I think statistically it was rather unusual, considering the line increases of all the cases. It seems to us that it would have continued up, but it's now going up and it's continuing to go up. We have a number of new attorneys. The population is growing rather rapidly in our area, and we feel that it's going to continue in a rather rapid rate.
I'm sorry I interrupted.
Not at all.
Curious.
I'm happy to answer any questions. I would like now, if I might, to call on Mr. Bliven, who is from Polk County, just to say a few words, and then we have one or two other very short matters.
That'll be fine. Questions of this witness? Okay. Thank you.
My name is Mark Bliven. I'm an attorney in Dallas. My address is 222 Hayter Street. I'm a former president of the 12th Judicial Bar Association, and I practice law in Dallas. I think David's pretty well laid out with the charts and the statistical data he has of the problem is. I am very familiar with the workings of the circuit court, and it's been a matter of great concern to me in the last few years, the tremendous burden being placed on our circuit judge. Of course, I practice in Yamhill County, and I see Judge Rossman's caseload. I know I've been even in contact with the Salem attorneys who commented to me that they felt that they can see from their practice in Polk County that we definitely need some help with the circuit court position.
I heard from some other witnesses that Polk and Yamhill had the longest period of time in law and equity cases, 12 to 13 months. How is it for criminal cases? And in your estimation, is it about that long in terms of the?
Well, I don't think the criminal docket is back quite that far, but certainly I think the overriding point is it's farther than it should be in order to see to the sufficient administration of justice.
Sam?
Well, I have no question here. I just wondered if you might call on the judges to answer that question.
I thought
you were saying any other comments.
Sorry. Any other questions?
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Kurt Rossman, the circuit judge of Yamhill County. First of all, in response to your question, Mr. Chairman, the reason that we did make a dent 2 years ago is that we instigated three new programs in our district. Number one was a six-man jury stipulation, and today I think we probably try more six-man cases than any other district percentage-wise within the state, about 40 to 45%. We also were the first circuit court to go to the utilization of the Chief Justice's proposal to use a court commissioner, similar to a pro tem that comes in and helps the judge with routine and administrative types of work. And we also went to a probate commissioner program that year. And so we were able to make a dent in the docket. I can tell you that it's a personal frustration to me to be here to admit that we're not winning the war with a docket. We're somewhat of an endangered species in these small single-judge districts where the judge has probate and juvenile. As it was brought out, Monday is motion day, Friday happens to be juvenile day, and that gives us 3 days a week to do the rest. And we've tried everything to win that war, and it looks as of this year that we no longer can. I think we've reached our saturation point.
as to any specific questions you'd want me to respond to in that regard, I could answer Representative Mark's question that the average time for the criminal case, of course, is far less. It takes about 3 months to 8 months on the long end. Just another personal frustration I have, speaking out on behalf of the litigants within the community, that normally the guy that's paying the taxes to use the court can't get access to it for his civil cases because of all the preferences we have to extend on the criminal case. And of course, you can see that in the graph that was offered here today. That's where our horrendous growth has been, is in the area of the criminal law. And appreciate the opportunity to be here and respond to any questions that you might have them.
And thank you, Judge. Any questions?
Just
Mr. Bond.
Judge Rossman, I think we're all interested in the support or lack of support of the county commissioners of a project like this, and they're likely interested in providing facilities. Would you care to comment on that?
Yes. The county commission in Yamhill County has appointed a committee consisting of five elected officials. I happen to be on that committee, and we are conducting a study. Ted Lopezinski, who I know most of you know, is here in the room. He's one of those commissioners, and it's our intent, then after we make some findings as to where these facilities could best be situated in our courthouse, then to involve a citizens committee to come to our budget committee and to make a presentation of what those needs are. So we're in the process now of identifying the needs, and that'll take a while, of course.
Other questions for the judge?
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Anyone else, Dan?
I think that's all, unless there's any way to judge with it.
Okay.
Sir Chairman, committee members, I am Darrell Williams, a circuit judge from Polk County. I think the issues have been very well covered this afternoon. I just might add this, though, that I think we should keep in mind that the problem that a one-judge county has is very unique compared to a multiple-judge county. Those of you that practice in small communities know that it is not unusual for, during the course of the trial, when we have a one-judge county, to be interrupted during the trial for such things as mental hearings, as juvenile hearings, detention hearings, and this sort of thing. And the duties that are required of a judge in a smaller county are very much different than in a smaller county. The thing that concerns me as here and now today is the 444 cases at issue. There have been appearances filed on both sides. The case is now ready to be set for trial. And we have about 180 working days per year. By the time we discount motion days, discount the juvenile days, and mathematics just doesn't allow us to try those cases as quickly as we should. I think that's all I have to say. Any questions?
Thank you, Judge. Thank you. That concludes your portion of the stand. But Judge Sanders, please, one of my circuit judges who can explain to you the need and necessity that we have in Douglas County.
Chairman, committee members. My name is Don Sanders. I'm one of the circuit judges in Douglas County. Douglas County has had two circuit judges since 1955, when it was then a multiple county district, and it's been a single county district since 1957. And we have given a lot of judicial time to other districts. Our problems arose primarily from the growth from 1968 and 69 on. I think the 1970 census put us around 70,000. My best estimate now is that the census is somewhere near 80. Problem really came to light during the last legislature. We had a committee formed in the bar. It didn't do a whole lot, and I suppose because they were busy. And frankly, it sort of grew on us before we really knew what had happened to us. I do what I did was I called the state court administrator and asked Mr. Judge Hicks if we could use his statistician, and we used the standards by which they keep their statistics, and had their statistician, Doug Bray, prepare a little 4 or 5 page, matter if I may be.
That's where you passed your
half these out here. And I asked him to compare our county statistically with Josephine Jackson, which in Jackson County had another circuit judge in the last legislature. Then with Lane County, that I knew was asking for a judge. And Marion and Clackamas and Deschutes and there's another one I cannot now remember. And thank you. What has happened is that in 1968, for about 10 years prior to that time, our caseload had been around 1,000 to 1,100 or something of that nature. And in 1969, it went over 1,200, and in 1974, it came to 2,000. We've used every means that I know of to expedite the handling of cases. We've abolished days like motion days and that sort of thing. We've blocked our days out. We've gone to a system that is known as individual docketing. Judge Woodridge handles the criminal cases and the dissolution. I have the remainder. We do have juveniles and probate and that sort of thing. We each start our day in court at 8:30. Mine is 8:30 to 9 is mental cases. I have about 2 or 3 weeks. 9 o'clock, I have juveniles until 9:30, and there are always some of those. I handle the motions and demurs from 9:30 to 10. Our trial time runs from 10 to 12 and 1:30 to 5. Judge Woodridge does precisely the same thing on his side of the court, only it's those matters pertaining to dissolutions and criminal matters. Now, we have not built up a tremendous backlog. I cannot explain it. I do not know why. Our disposition rate is the number of cases tried for judge, the number of cases filed are evident, and I think they're honest figures, as honest as we can make them. We have a space problem. However, the county commissioners are engaged in building an adjunct to the rear of our present courthouse building, and we will have space at that time. We do not have space at this time. The best estimate for the completion of the building is about June of 1966, which is a lawsuit pending concerning that building. And
excuse me, 1976.
June 1976. But there is a lawsuit pending about that building, and it may be delayed or it may not be. I do not know the outcome of that. We couldn't. We don't use pro tem help simply because we don't have any place to put it. We don't have another courtroom.
Judge, the amendment that I've prepared, and which has been submitted to the committee here, calls for this position to be filled on the first Monday in January 1977. And at that time, well, do you contemplate at the present time that the caseload is going to increase and your docketing problems are going to get worse than they are now?
Well, it's gone up about 200 a year, and I cannot see that it's... I don't know. All I can do is project that. I could say this. They had a study made, two different studies made, by the commissioners did, and they projected that the caseload of 2,000 filings would come about 1980, and it would come about 5 years sooner, and I anticipate the caseload will increase. It wouldn't be calamitous if that was January 1, 1977 would be a good time. If we get space available before that time, of course, we will use any pro tem help that we can get in. I could go over some of those figures with you, but I'd never like you could read them as quickly as I can. They are all taken out of the State Court Administrator's office. I suppose the reason we didn't get into the bar bill is that we just didn't believe it was happening to us. And they did. I would answer any question I could.
Questions of Judge Sanders? Yes, David.
Do you have any idea what caused the dramatic increase in caseload that's reflected in the statistician's report?
Well, I have some ideas, but they're. I don't know how solidly I can back them up. The drug cases had something to do with it. You've got about 320 miles of Interstate 5 through the state. We have over 100 miles of it in our county. That helps, you know. I think one of our big problems in the not in the criminal cases, because I think that is drug related, but one of our big problems is the population growth, and we're now experiencing the problems having to do with subdivisions and uses of old roads and that sort of thing. The growing pains that go from an influx of population, and I think we've had about 10,000 in the last 5 years. I really do. And that may not sound a whole like a whole lot, but for a little county like ours, it has brought on a lot of losses.
Other questions of Judge Sanders? No, thank you, Judge.
Thank you. Thank you all.
That's all the presentations we were prepared to make in respect to the Douglas County need today. There will be more at Ways and Means.
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion that Mr. Representative Bond and that you had, I would move that they be amended into the bill.
Been moved that the amendments proposed by Representative Bond and by me to the bill be adopted. Is there any objection? Not, it's ordered by unanimous consent. Is there anyone else now who wants to be heard on the bill? I thank you all for... excuse me, Judge. I didn't see you back.
I signed in to speak on the right. My name was...
Will you come forward, please? That's 2260. Well,
first of all, my name is Robert J. Wright. I live at 88838 Hale Road in Otay, Oregon, which is Lane County, Oregon. And first of all, I'm not a judge, nor am I a member of the State Bar Association. I feel that I am representative of the vast majority that we commonly refer to as the general public. And as I understand it, you two are elected as representatives of that class. Now, I am not in disagreement with any of the pleas made by any of the judges who have spoken or any members of the Bar Association as to the need for more judges in all of the various counties. But I ask you to consider this fact. Particularly in the economic situation that we have today, to burden the general public with the additional costs that the various speakers have requested, when there is an alternative, is unconscionable to me. First of all,
I would like this committee to recognize the fact that over 25 states have now adopted and changed the system. Our State Bar Association has not recommended any changes in the system. They would like very much to perpetuate the system that we now have, which will continually and constantly call for more and more judges, bigger and bigger courthouses, all at the expense of the general public. Now, you have had some statistics presented to you today from various counties of the state. Now, these statistics represent cases filed. But I haven't heard of any statistics presented to this committee as to how much of the time each individual judge dedicates to the motion docket. We know this much, that there are judges assigned to the motion docket exclusively. Principally, most of their cases are involving the motion docket. Now, these are not cases. These are the motions preparatory to filing an answer. Now, if we considered that time, if we could abolish the motion docket, then there is already sufficient number of judges to handle the caseload in every county. Our federal courts have done it, 25 other states have done it, and I see no reason why Oregon should be the last state to do it. Now, I spoke on this subject before the Oregon Judicial Council in 1969. I was a guest speaker before the Oregon Lane Bar Association last year, and I have been quite critical of it in my remarks to the press and in speeches that I've made throughout the country, critical of the Bar Association for not being aggressive enough to take this step. Now, for all I know, I'm probably the only non-lawyer in this group, and I feel that somebody must speak out on behalf of the people who are footing the bill. Now, if this legislature were to adopt, in part, the federal rules of civil procedure, by simply adopting Rule A, B, C, and D, Rule 12, B, 1 through 6, and Rule 56, allowing for summary judgment, your motion docket would disappear. And there would be no more delay. When a person files a case, first of all, it's usually subject to demur. And if the demur is overruled, then it goes to the various motions to strike, motions to make more definite and certain. Attorneys refer to it as the book of motions. I refer to it as their bread and butter. And I'm going to demonstrate briefly just why this is a lot of nonsense. I have presently in the Lane County Circuit Court over 5 cases. As a non-lawyer acting in propria persona, I have been involved in some 50 or 60 cases both in the state system and in the federal system. I've practiced before every court in the United States in that level in various counties of this state. So I know what I'm talking about in that respect. But these motions, somebody's paying for those motions. The federal courts don't allow it. Federal courts don't allow demurs. They substitute with a motion to dismiss. If you file a motion to dismiss under Rule 12b, 1 and 6, it's also considered as a move for summary judgment under Rule 56, and the case is disposed of on that one motion. If dismissal is not allowed, the other party files its answer, it proceeds to trial. In your state system, you follow it with a complaint, then there are generally maybe 6 to 8 months of motion before the opposing party files his answer. Then after he files his answer, there's another 9 or 10 month wait after a certificate of readiness is filed before the case actually comes to trial. Now, I certainly recognize the need for judges to
adjudicate cases at trial. But I see no reason whatsoever to take up a full-time judge's time resolving nothing but motions. Now, I have 5 cases at the present time on the Lane County Court docket. I brought 2 cases recently under the Federal Civil Rights Act, but I brought them to the county court. I wanted to see what they do with it. Now, to give you an illustration as to how lawyers handle these cases, one of the defendants in this lawsuit was a law firm. Now, when a lawyer hires another lawyer to represent him, he hasn't got money for these motions. He doesn't want to build up a $5,000 debt before an answer is filed or before it comes to trial. So when a lawyer represents another lawyer, the procedure there is the complaint is filed, you move on a demur. If your demur is overruled, you answer. We don't waste time with motions. But if they've got a rich client on the hook, somebody whose liability is insured, and an insurance company is going to foot the bill, then they don't go that route. First of all, they come with the motions to strike, motions to make more definite and certain, and a host of other motions. And maybe after 8 months, and they're paid for their time and labor on these motions, eventually they reach a point where they have to answer. So the motion docket is nothing more than a scheme for members of the State Bar Association to make an awful lot of money in a court before it comes to trial. And most times, by the time it does come to trial, if their client isn't insured, he may very well be broke and not be able to proceed any further. So I don't believe that we're doing the people of this state any justice whatsoever by going along with this present scheme that we have that perpetuates more and more judges in an impossible situation. I believe that we can resolve this situation completely, entirely, and to the economic benefit of the people of the state by doing something that the State Bar Association should have done 20 years ago, and that is change the system. Adopt your federal rules of civil procedure. Abolish these motions. Free these judges from the motion calendar. I've had 1 case in the Lane County Circuit Court now. I've had 3 different judges ruling on motions filed in that one case. Now, I believe that a fact-finding committee would find that a substantial part of a judge's time is spent in deciding motions, and I feel that those motions are absolutely unnecessary and completely ridiculous. I think that the federal court system should be adopted for the benefit of the people of the state, and I think that justice would resolve from it because more cases would go to trial on their merits rather than to be disposed of through these dilatory defenses that you find in these motions. Our state system is wonderful, it's beautiful, and scientific, but it's like I told the Oregon Judicial Council back in 1969. I said our system is calculated to vindicate scientific rules of pleading.
Mr. Wright, I would appreciate it if you'd address yourself directly to the question of additional circuit judges, and there may be another time or another forum in respect to your matters concerning the matter of motions and federal rules.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you, we do have 1 non-lawyer member of this committee, and I'll also tell you, and some of the others here may not know it, that we voted out of this committee the other day a summary judgment measure.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think you might add, too, Mr. Chairman, that we did vote out last session a bill that would have allowed the Supreme Court to have rulemaking power so that they could adopt some of the rules, and it was unfortunately killed on the other side.
It was a barbell. Right. I represented
just going to make a very quick comment in defense of the bar in this case, that it was a barbell. The bar has been supportive of the effort to move closer to the federal rules, and it was a legislature that did not support the measure, and I think we need to work with the legislators, many of them non-lawyers, to get this kind of legislation.
I see. And of course, in speaking today and the manner that I presented my argument is opposed to the present measure. Opposed to it because it does not solve the economic question.
Yes, I understand.
The general public is
concerned. I'm sure the committee does.
But it does solve the problem, and of course, I do agree that these judges have an awful caseload, and they're going to continue to have it, and it'll continue to get greater and be more of a burden if we follow this same path. Because there's no answer at the end of it. And they very, very definitely do need at least four more judges in Wayne County for the motion docket alone.
Other questions of Mr. Wright?
Well, not that would pertain to this bill.
Our clerk will get you a copy of House Bill 2230, which was voted out of here the other day. Yes.
Glad you had my in the spirit of the earlier remarks, to write that hopefully out of this session will come some form of either rulemaking investment or counsel that's going to read the comprehensive rule of court and order.
Well, yes, I think that they need the. They need a uniform rules of procedure throughout all of the courts. But I think, too, that our courts have misunderstood your rulemaking authority. For example, the Oregon Supreme Court and Court of Appeals recently adopted a rule that bars persons like me from their courtroom. Now, I understood that the Constitution provided for justice without purchase and completion without delay, yet non-lawyers must hire an attorney to argue before the oral court. 3 weeks ago, I argued before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, but a non-lawyer can't argue in a state court. Okay.
Thank you for your appearance, Mr. Cool. Wright. I regret that I missed your sign-up. It was still down there at the end of the table, and I appreciate you coming forward in any event. Yeah, let's...
Mr. Chairman, yeah. We're ready to go off with the district court bill whenever you are.
Excuse me, could I respond just for a moment to Mr. Wright's comment? Well, I also signed...
You are in connection, however, with the district court measure, were you not?
Same,
excuse court. Me. All right, will you come forward then? Then I'll give you a chance, Judge, to respond if you would like.
Again, I'm a non-lawyer, and I noticed that we're polarizing the argument here. It seems to be the business community of lawyering is being endowed.
Will you state your name for the record?
Sorry, my name is John Miller Reed, 1560 Lincoln Street, Apartment 30.
Eugene.
And I have also acted in as an attorney pro se in my own causes for the last 15 years. I was the first non-lawyer in Oregon's history to argue a case in the Supreme Court, and that was really fortunate. I had occasion to bring a wage claim on a foreign corporation and was successful in that. But I'm not trying to impress you with this, but the credentials I think are important in the sense that through these efforts I've learned the practicing procedures that are precluding justice of the court, and that would seem to me the main issue in having a new judge. I'm not against judges. I'm not against more judges, except that we're not going to gain more justice by them. And I'd like to suggest that Mr. Wright's showing of the proceedings of motion as a vehicle to preclude getting to the issue quickly and taking up the judge's time is very important. I'd also like to submit that we're electing judges politically rather than on their expertise. And many judges who go before, they'll open up the case and say it's a corporation case. They have no knowledge of corporate law. And I've had a case where I walked out with an opposing counsel, and he said that the judge didn't know that area of law, and he was making decisions on it. I would suggest that certain
changes in the proceedings or the procedures, the rules of the court be changed before we allow any more judges. Certain changes of the procedures, legal procedures, must be the first order of business. You can't keep a dinosaur growing, is my point. It's got to be, you got to get to the point of changing the food they're eating for the reason they're growing. And if the main supposition is justice, I think that's the first attention that we have to bring our, focus our attention on. And I'd say that lawyers' fees and faculty procedures have precluded justice. I would have simplified forms and free legal aid, delete all motions except the demur, and that challenges, of course, the jurisdiction of the court or improper joining the parties. Allow attorneys, non-attorney legal fees, and that would stop the war of attrition that goes on in court now. They'll take a person that's not an attorney that's forced to represent himself and not pay him legal fees, and that's preclude the effort of the person. And I'd abolish certain courts, like the Court of Appeals, if I could, and give back the authority to the Supreme Court. These are just some of the things that that I'd respectfully submit. Rather than having more judges, I'd suggest better proceedings, legal proceedings. That's about all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ray.
Mr. Stoppel, Judge Stoppel, excuse me, if you can keep your remarks as brief as possible, I'll appreciate it.
I don't want to argue with Mr. Rice, and he certainly thought his opinion, but I think the dark impression that he painted for the committee just wouldn't stand the light of fact. He said, for example, it takes 6 to 8 months in the pleading stage in this case for a case to get to issue, another 8 to 10 months to be disposed of, or simply are not the facts. In Marion County, which I suspect is the third largest and busiest court in the state system, the motion calendar requires a half day twice a month for a judge. In other words, one judicial day a month handles all motions and preliminary matters. So I just didn't want that false impression, or that impression, to not go unanswered. And I know Representative Seltzer is aware of that as I am.
Thank you, Val. I'm sorry that I elevated you without giving you the raise in pay.
Chairman, can I ask a question of what he just said? A little while ago, a man was here, a judge or lawyer, and said every Monday was motion day and every Friday was juvenile day, and said it was taken every Monday of every week for motion. Now, this kind of contradicts what you just said.
All I can testify to is concerning experience in Marion County.
That testimony was in respect to Polk and
Amhill. I'm not a lawyer either, so a lot of this is over my head. I don't realize what you're talking about. But one guy says it's taking one day a week just for motions, another guy says it's a half a day a month. So that's a big difference.
I understand that. Will you give me your name for the record, please?
Stan Judge.
From Tillamook?
From the Halem Morgan.
May I respond to that?
Yes. This is the last response.
Darrell Williams, Circuit Judge Polk County. Yes. When I use the word motion day, I'm not saying that we hear motions all day long. Motion day consists of this. We start with juvenile hearings at 8:30. They go until 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, we hear default divorces. From there to about 11 o'clock. From 11 to 12, we hear motions. And the afternoon, say them with criminal matters, criminal arraignment, and show cause matters. That's motion day defined.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anybody
that's
else?
Clear.
21, 22.
Clear.
22-21, right? Okay. The hearing's closed. What's your pleasure?
Matt,
you want
to
move on that?
Yes,
I did.
Yeah.
Is it
appropriate?
Would you like me to delay?
No, go
ahead. Chairman, I move that we pass out the House Bill 22-21 and pass recommendation and refer to it
as amended.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank
you.
Representative Cronemeyer moves. I do pass on House Bill 2221 as amended. Any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bunn?
Aye.
Cronemeyer?
Aye.
Kulongoski?
Aye.
Mark? Myers?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye. Carried and argued. Okay, we'll open the hearing now on do you want your vote registered on the last major?
Registered. Aye.
Okay. Record of so shall. House Bill 2216. Mr. Van Dyke?
Mr. Chairman, I think the record shows that the Oregon State Bar did support an additional circuit court judge position for Coos, Klamath, Lane, two judges, Marion, and Washington County. And we also set up priorities. Lane County should have the first judge, the second priority. We leveled off between Coos, Klamath, and Washington counties. We considered it an equal priority. The third priority was Marion County, and then Lane County had the fourth priority, and then we concluded by recommending a new district court should be created in Tillamook County, effective as of January 1st, 1977, the retirement date of the present Justice of Peace.
Thank you.
We are prepared to proceed if you wish.
All right. Commissioner Bailey from Tillamook County has another meeting, and he's here, and he'd like to testify for us about it if you would.
Yes, fine. You bet. Thank you.
From there on, I'll let you take it in your argument.
Okay.
Now, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, today I was prepared to stand before you and say I'm glad to be here when I saw all of the attorneys and all of the judges, and particularly all of the attorneys from Tillamook County. I don't know how pleased I am, because I think there are some differences of opinion. I do feel an obligation as a representative of Tillamook County to present to you some 1,550 signatures indicating the same desire that I'm going to indicate to you. These signatures were gathered in quite a short time with a win ratio of about 90%. And by that I mean that out of 106 people approached on Main Street in Tillamook, probably 100 of them signed the petition. Now, they are representative of every area in Tillamook County, but by no means was every member contacted. Now, I represent about 18,000 people, and I would say to you that we are pleased with the present justice court system in Tillamook County. There will be other members or people here with statistics, and I think that it'll also indicate the same thing to you. I think Representative Hannon is on the list to speak. These signatures, I think, are indicative of the work that Frank Judd and his family and others have done. And at this time, I'd like to say thank you for their interest and concern with the people of Tillamook County. Now, I have reasons, of course, that I feel that a change at this time would be not in the best interest economically. If you're aware of the condition that we have in Tillamook County, something over 22% unemployed, state and federal agencies are trying to be of every assistance that they can to put people back to work. The county is going to be hard pressed to maintain the level of system that they have, the workforce that they have, and money is something that we're going to find difficulty in finding in the next budget year. It's been indicated to me that it wouldn't cost any more, but I was not sold on that presentation. I've talked with many commissioners throughout the state, and their budgets, of course, are much greater than ours. And Bob, I would say, I apologize for calling you Bob, but it's only because I've known you for 40 years.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey. Any questions of Commissioner Bailey? Okay.
Thanks very much.
All right, Frank.
If we may, I have a district court judge that has a case that's waiting for him to administer justice, and therefore I'd like to call on District Court Judge Tom Hansen of Marion County, please. Judge Hansen, speak on the need for a new District Court Judge here.
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tom Hansen, presiding District Court Judge Marion County. You have a lot of people waiting. I'll take just 2 minutes. I have a handout here I'd like to pass by, just showing the caseload, where we've increased from 11,000 in 1970 to 33,000. We're having a tremendous increase, and I don't know how the bar arrived at priorities, but it's obvious, really, in talking to all the judges that will be before you, that the necessary for the district court to be able to dispatch their cases fast, and our caseload is tripled in the 5 years with two judges. We've had two judges since 1961. The amount of fines and forfeitures have gone up 250-300% more than paying for the judge or the state share. These figures show it. I have no more questions. I'd like to go on back and get to work.
Questions of Judge Hansen? Apparently not. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Too bad. Now, if John Bryan, you wish to support this, and Sandy, what do you
do? Chairman, members of the committee, as I did earlier, I'm representing the Marion County Bar Association, the president of that organization. Marion County Bar Association does support this bill, requesting a third district court judge for Marion County. In the past year, at least, to my knowledge, the Marion County District Court has been operating three pretty much full-time courts, with the two regular district judges, and then other judges sitting in a third courtroom, which is currently operating as pro tem judges, or local lawyers sitting as pro tem judges. So in effect, for the last year, we have had pretty much full-time three district court judges. And I think the statistics which have been supplied to the committee by Judge Hansen certainly indicate that the caseload per district judge in Marion County would fully justify a full-time district court judge. I don't think the cost of that, if we view the current practice of using pretty much a full-time pro tem court, the cost is not going to be that much additional, and the space, courtroom space, is available and is operating currently. The board of directors of the local bar association have inquired about this need starting last spring, and watched the operation occur rather closely, and by unanimous vote have agreed to support this bill. Thank you.
Any questions? Yeah, Cardi?
What I've projected for the increase between 71 and 73 is roughly 40,000 cases per year. Do you have any analysis?
I cannot tell you, sir, what the... You're speaking of the increase from 1972 to 1974.
71 to 73.
13,000 to 22,000 in 1972, and then 32,000 in 1973. I cannot tell you where those cases come from. You know, I believe this information is accurate as to the increased case load, but how to account for it, I just cannot tell you.
Anybody else from Marion County, John?
I think Mike Freya will.
Does Mr. Friel wish to testify? Perhaps we should give the people, we seem to have quite a few people and considerable degree of interest from Tillamook County. So perhaps we should let the proponents of the Tillamook County District Court position come on now. Is that all right, Mr. Chairman?
I want to check Representative Hanneman's time.
Oh, if better later, why?
Well,
Mr. Chairman, I have to leave at 3:30, but I may be able to come back before you adjourn.
However you would prefer it, Paul.
If I'm an opponent of the bill, it wouldn't be in normal customary manner for me to go first at this time, but I could return before 4 o'clock.
We can bend the rules to fit a representative, you know.
I'd rather you, but he's going to come in today and go first.
Why don't you go ahead, Paul?
Well,
unless you would rather not. I mean, it's your choice.
If you wish, then I'll make it very brief.
I don't want to try to limit you. You understand that.
2216 is, of course, includes Tillamook County for a district court. The Tillamook County Bar Association asked me last session to introduce the bill to provide a district court in Tillamook County, but since our justice court had had several years yet of time for the present elected justice of the peace to continue, I didn't introduce the bill last session. Almost a year ago, they asked me to introduce the bill again in this session. I spent a great deal of time weighing pros and cons between the justice court and the district court concepts, and they've become unhappy with me over the long time that I have spent trying to put everything together to make a decision. Finally, my decision is counter to the Tillamook County Bar's position. I believe they will testify, they are unanimous in favor of a district court, Tillamook County, and I support retention of the justice court. Incidentally, I might comment that we've considered the Lincoln County proposal, where North Lincoln County, which is quite a long distance from the district court in Newport, has a justice court in the north part of the county. Our county commission, though, however, seems not to look too favorably to that. I haven't explored completely the dual justice district court for a county of our size, but I meet with very little support for that proposal in the county, too. So my request to you is that Tillamook County be deleted from the bill and that we continue with a justice court. In 1973, I have them separated by years. In 1973, the justice court in Tillamook County handled 468 cases, and 11 appeals were filed in the circuit court for 1973. And in 1974, the justice court handled 6,337 cases, and there were 20 appeals. And the circuit court changed only two of those decisions made in justice court in 1974. Although several are still awaiting action by the circuit court in February and March. Now, from a layman's point of view, it seems to me that with the admittedly a large caseload in that justice court, the only countywide justice court west of the Cascades, the caseload is very heavy. But the appeals seem to be very light by comparison. I don't have comparative figures with other counties, but compared to the number of cases handled by the court, the appeals have been very low. Seems to me to represent a virtue of the justice court system, and perhaps the Bar Association disagrees with that methodology in that.
Secondly, I've accepted that the fact that the lowest court in the judicial system can continue with a lay judge, and believe that that the citizens prefer that they face a lay judge in the lowest court. And I know those of you who are members of the bar strongly disagree with that position. It does meet with public acceptance, and in the 10 years that I've been in the legislature, I've received not more than six complaints from citizens of the Tillamook County side of my district ever complaining about the procedures or the decision that is outside the Bar Association. The attorneys, I'm sure, find continually a problem working with the system, but the people have who have experiences with the court have not had very many problems presented to me, at least. If they have those problems, they've never been brought to my attention, not more than just a few over all those years. Now, we've gone around and around about on the third point that I wanted to make. On the Governor's Commission on Judicial Reform recommends that district courts become courts of record against those becoming courts of record. And I understand that in the last session we provided that in June or July of this year that they will. Is that correct? And a Senate bill provides further that they will by the middle of this summer. It seems to me that unless the procedure is somehow streamlined, that there will be a delay and an additional expense to the public to appear before a court that is a court of record. And I think that that may be a point that we ought to consider in favor of the justice court as it is. There was criticism in the county, in Tillamook County, about the justice of the peace being unable to give proper instruction to juries. And, I am informed that she has a standard provision that she reads to the jury. I realize that in many cases there are special direction special directions needed to the juries, and in some cases I'm sure it's not a smooth operating situation. But lastly, I think, as indicated to you by a petition drive, which incidentally I was not the sponsor of. The petition drive was undertaken before I was aware of it. It does, however, show that a tremendous amount of people within a very small county in population do support the justice court. Part of that, I suppose, is that the present lady justice of the peace is a very very likable person, but in my analysis of attempting to determine whether we ought to switch to a district court, I've attempted to remove the personality issue from it as much as possible, to feel that the people prefer to keep the justice court because of its mechanics and not its personality. She did, however, institute some alcoholic rehabilitation programs. One specifically, I'm sure, has some merit. She's a very capable person in the community, and I think has done a good job. Of course, it's very likely that, or it's possible that she may not be the next JP. So our decision then is to make between the virtues of a justice court versus those of a district court, and I think that there are good, strong arguments on both sides. It's my position that we prefer for the next term of justice of the peace in Tilma County, at least, to keep the justice court for the time being. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to attempt to answer them.
Questions of Representative Henneman? Apparently not, Paul. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the courtesy of allowing me to break into the program.
Well, I know that you have other things to do also.
Especially as an opponent, but the proponents may now use their time as rebuttal. So,
sure they will. Mr. Van Dyke, yes. I would suggest the Tillamook County
yes.
one is going to take the most time, and perhaps to relieve the other people, we should
yes.
proceed with the other.
All right,
first.
Fine. Okay. Well, then I would be pleased to call on District Judge William Beckett to bring us a story from Lane County, District Court.
I'm William Beckett, District Judge, Lane County. I have some materials which I'd like to pass out. If I may, I'd like to substitute John Joseph to speak first, and then I'll speak after John. John is the past president of Lane County Bar.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, my name is John Joseph. I'm attorney in Eugene, Oregon. I also serve as a part-time municipal judge in Springfield, where I've had occasion to meet with one of the former members that has testified to you, Mr. Wright. I'm privileged to be one of the defendants in his 5 lawsuits for $2.5 million. I don't know what that has
another
to do with
defendants
it, but
just
like know. I'd like to acquaint you a little bit with the situation in Lane County. We have had 3 district judges serving on a full-time basis since 1967, and essentially that situation hasn't changed with respect to the full-time judges. Since 2 years ago, we have had assistance from pro tem judges, which is not entirely adequate. I think most of you that practice before a court would agree with that. In fact, up until from April 1974 through the present time, we have one lawyer who has quit his practice and serves as a full-time pro tem district judge. He will, or his term will expire in September of this year. So I think in our request for 2 judges, really I should be talking more in terms of the so-called 5th judge or the 2nd request as opposed to the 1st, because there is no question but what we have used a pro tem judge on a full-time basis each and every judicial day since April of 1974. The problem, of course, is the same one that was present 2 years ago when we made a similar request and were denied. The backlog continues to increase, and Judge Beckett has the statistics. I might just review very briefly with you. In 1972, we used 141 days of pro tem time. Now in 1974, and it's going to get worse, in 1975, we're using 326 days of pro tem time. I think probably one of the more significant, the case filings is not terribly significant as opposed to the actual cases set for trial, but case filings have gone up from 1967 to the present at a rate of 79%. And that again is based upon a base year of 1967 when the 3 authorized judges were installed. The cases set for trial have increased 88%, and the cases actually tried have gone up from 837 to 1,308. I think you should consider, too, the possible effect that might take place if the, and I understand it is, the district court has made a court of record and is bound to, in some ways, increase the actual jury time. What they're doing now, as I understand it, is they're using not only the full-time pro tem district judge, but they're using an additional judicial time, another third of the judge, on filling this 5th position. They're oversetting the cases. They're setting something like 15 jury trials a day, and that is for when there's 4 or 5 judges available. One of those judges, obviously, or not obviously, but is not available because he's taken up on criminal matters. So many cases are coming on for trial. The witnesses are there, the attorneys are there, everybody's prepared, and they're not being able to be heard. They're having to be postponed. And this is complicated because now the Supreme Court has issued an ethics opinion, or whoever issued the ethics opinion has issued it, that you cannot use a judge in a pro tem capacity, any judge that is likely to serve in that court or the circuit court. So the availability of qualified individuals as pro tem judges is about to cease. So any lawyer that is trying cases before Lane County District or Circuit Court is not now ethically, as of January 31st, not going to be ethically entitled to sit as a pro tem judge during that term, and that's going to require that they go outside the county to get their pro tem help, which is very necessary. And probably another problem too that we should at least touch upon is the problem of criminal law. The waiting period now, which is fine for me as a defense lawyer, but may not be in the best interest of justice, and that's really what this is all about. The waiting time is anywhere from 7 to 9 months. Now, this is a court where hopefully not all of the public is going to appear, but if you're going to appear, you're most likely going to appear in district court. Many people now, because of the changes in the bail law, are posting 10%, and 9 months later, they're never to be heard of again, which is an easy way out. And we dilute justice if we postpone it so long. So I would suggest to you that the request not only for a fourth but a fifth judge in Lane County's instance is very justified. And I sit here, I've heard all of the other requests, and I puzzle over how it's possible that we can have all these judges, but I can't. It's like having a Cadillac and putting old tires on it. If the system's going to work, we're going to have to put something into it and make it work. So I would ask you to consider it.
Thanks. Questions of Mr. Joseph? Okay.
Good question.
I might say that I think you can see from prior witnesses that Lane County is a rather exciting place to practice. I'm also a defended in the $2.5 million lawsuit by Mr. Wright, but it's a separate lawsuit from Mr. Jordan.
The entity of interest there.
The difficulty with statistics, and I think I can cite you statistics from all of this material, and I'm sure and I hope that you will take a look at it. But what is lacking is the flesh and blood of people that we have to deal with day in and day out. And what is occurring, frankly, is that if you come up to our court, you're going to find a mass of people waiting constantly to be handled in one form or another, whether they're appearing for traffic arraignments that start at 8:30 in the morning, whether they're there for criminal arraignments that start at 9 for another judge, whether they're for some small trials that start at 9 o'clock, or whether they're for jury trials at 10 o'clock. We've instituted over the last 2.5 years or thereabouts a system where we have a ready call at 10 o'clock, and that's an exciting game. And I think you ought to be there just to see what happens, because you have anywhere from 10 to 14 attorneys or better that are waiting to find out if their cases are going to be tried. You have upwards of 40 or 50 witnesses waiting outside to see whether their cases are going to be tried. And then it's a juggling game where you have four courtrooms, three of which can handle a jury, one of which cannot at the present time, and you have 15 jury trials, in addition to which you may have 8 or 9 non-jury trials later on to try and funnel into 3 judges. Now, that becomes an exciting game for the judge to stand ready call. Then you have trials now that are not any longer just a three-quarter or half-day trial. We're finding our trials are generally running not only a full day for a jury, but commonly now are becoming a day and a half. If you take our statistics, again, you can break it down and find out that of the 4 judges that are constantly there, we are handling 2 jury trials per day. Not per judge, but 2 jury trials per day. One judge is handling criminal matters, and the other judge is handling all the surplus that's left over. we have emergency calls quite often for the pro tem. We use approximately 76 days of pro tem judges on an emergency basis. Now, we are not fulfilling our tasks as judges as far as getting the people's cases tried. We simply have no space, no time in which to do it. Now, the Lane County Commissioners are constructing two courtrooms this year, and they will be ready this year so that we can have five courtrooms with five jury capacity. If you'll take a look at the very first page, I don't think you can really imagine what it's like to take a look at a docket over a year's time that has 5,223 trials set. This does not include small claims. This does not include motions. This does not include parole or probation violations. This does not include any of the mass of other hearings that we have to have. Does not include any of our motions in regard to criminal matters. Those are all set separately set. Does not include FEDs. Does not include any of the preliminary hearings that we have or the fugitive hearings. Does not include arraignment. This is 5,223 cases that we set, 2,629 of which were jury trials, 50%. We reached the maximum. The theme box is about ready to explode. There's no place to go. Now, either we're going to be able to provide some justice for the people within Lane County at our level, or we will just simply see a greater and greater delay. Already at 7 to 8 months on a jury trial.
Questions of Judge Beckett? Harding?
Judge, I have no doubt in my own mind that Lane County is, you know, probably the most
litigious.
Well, no.
They're very thorough.
Needful in the judicial district, both in terms of district and district judges. What I wanted to ask was, and this would be directed to Mr. Van Dyke, has any attempted projection been made of the effect of the adoption of SB1 as now proposed on district court load? I have not yet reviewed myself the material relating to SB1, so maybe call it there.
I do not know about the state bar. I can give you
some ideas. Now, you're talking in terms of the possibility of removing the minor traffic so that they would become a violation, and certain major traffics that would be changed to such a degree that, especially say a first DUIL, would be a non-jury trial, and if it were a second or subsequent jury matter, it would be a jury trial and far more serious than it is possibly now. If you were to exclude, and you have to think in two categories first, one, the minor traffics as such, and then the major traffic. If you were to take away every single bit of the minor traffic that we handle, the arraignments, the trials, and anything that's peripheral to it, the phone calls, things of this nature, we estimate that it would take about 3/5 of one judge's time. Now, you're not removing it under this bill. You're still leaving a lot of the responsibility for the arraignment, the trial, and everything else. So you can say that it doesn't count as 3/5 of one judge's time. And we sent a letter, September 7th, 1973, and unfortunately I'm not including the copy, but I do have a copy here, to Mr. Hicks, who is the State Court Administrator, Mr. Justice Hicks, and indicated to him our conclusion that if everything were taken into account, it would be 3/5 of one judge's time for the entire year based on 254 judicial days. Now, if you were to include all of the arraignment time, and if you were to include all the trial time for the major traffic, and assume that they could only be tried as a non-jury trial, my estimate at this time would be that you'd probably take the other 2/5 of that time. So that you're talking about one judge's time as far as reduction is concerned. Because I think you'll also find that if you were to make a statistical analysis, and I can only go by the facts of what I see in court, most of our jury trials, for example, on DUILs, is not a first. They're a second. or they involve a first DUIL where there's been one litigated matter that was reduced to a reckless driving on the person's driving record previously. So we are finding ourselves faced with this panacea that the legislature is talking in terms of reducing the amount of load that we're going to face. And we're fighting windmills. That is not going to have the direct effect on our caseload as we hope. Nor is it going to take away the amount of judicial time that it's anticipated. Now, I can only go by the figures that we've tried to work out, and we were faced with this 2 years ago, and we're faced with it now. And that's the best estimate I can give you.
Other questions? Yes.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, maybe I should disclaim a conflict of interest before he starts. But Judge Beckett, isn't it the fact that Lane County District Court has been operating on about a five-judge basis for the last year?
Very definitely.
In the District Court. The figure that I'm interested in that you cited was the increase in small claims. And I note that on page 6 that you state that in 1974, 961 small claims were set for hearing, and almost all were actually heard. How much time would it take a judge to hear that many cases? I guess what I'm getting at, would it take, with the present increase in small claims, could a district court judge just do that permanently?
Well, very frankly, we handle it in a remarkably short time. We are finding ourselves with a backlog even beginning to develop there, which is surprising because we've been trying to keep those up to date. We use a floating system for small claims. We set from 9 o'clock until noon, 3 judges hearing nothing but small claims on Monday morning. We are now forced into the position of having some set specifically in the afternoon. Now, in essence, you are using 1.5 days of judicial time just for the hearing of small claims. But this is the only manner in which we can do it. We simply siphon them out between the 3 judges, and then hopefully if the criminal judge gets through at any time before 12 and there's any left over, he would hear them. Quite often we go to 12:30. And the caliber of our small claims, by the way, is changing considerably. I can say from experience, I've had one within the very recent past. It took me 2 hours to decide. There was an accounting problem. They were not prepared. We simply had to take them step by step through the entire thing.
Would a number of these claims be under the landlord tenant law, rental deposits and things like that?
A great number of them are. They're delightful.
Mm-hmm. It's the university. Yeah.
Other questions?
Thank you very much, Judge Beckett. I know of no one else from Lane County. Are there others from Lane County that would speak? All right, Mr. Chairman, we would like to proceed now to Coos County. I have two gentlemen here from Coos County, Mr. Fred Easton and William Collier. Both been here nearly all day.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Fred Easton. 650 Newmark, Coos Bay, and I'm a practicing attorney, and during the last year have served also as a pro tem district judge in Coos County. I'm also vice president of the Coos Curry Bar Association. I can report that during 1974 there were 13,014 cases filed in the Coos County District Court. Of these, 1,187 cases were misdemeanors, and 305 were felonies or information filed that had to be acted on either in the form of arraignment or preliminary hearings. There are presently pending at issue 1,500 cases for jury trials alone with one judge. These are at issue and pending. Judge Reeves is setting 4 jury trials a day in his court by himself. And he is, for all intents and purposes, disposing of 4 jury trials a day and is going behind. So you can see that the quality of justice at times is really being trampled on with our situation. People are appearing for trial. They're not getting their cases tried, or else the district attorney's office is faced with plea bargaining, or litigants are faced with plea bargaining due to the costs incumbent upon subpoenaing witnesses, taking off work to appear for trial, hiring an attorney to appear, and not being able to get their cases heard. On occasion, we do find a circuit judge who's free, and we will run a jury case into him. There's presently a 7-month lag on jury criminal trials in Coos County, and this is going behind. Now, since the last session, Judge Reeves has been using 5 days a week a part-time pro tem judge. These pro tem judges are selected from members of the bar who are willing literally to give their time in the service every morning to handling arraignments and non-jury trial matters in the city of North Bend. And these cases are being heard in the council chambers. The council is giving them only a couple hours each morning, 5 days a week, for this particular room. And the attorneys basically have been subsidizing the judge system in Coos County. The amount of money that we receive each morning, at least in my practice, does not pay for the overhead that morning in the practice. We have been spreading it out, and a good number of attorneys have been handling these cases. It's, I think, been on record with this committee in the past that we are really desperately in need of another judge. In addition to these particular statistics, I can advise you that the 4 cities in the northern part of the county, that's North Bend, Coos Bay, Eastside, and Lakeside, have entered into preliminary discussions with the idea of turning over their municipal court caseloads to the district court. So that we are facing this possibility in the near future. I can report that the county is building a new courtroom in the city of North Bend, in the northern end of the county, and that this will be completed about April, either March or April, and it will be a brand new courtroom in the northern part of the county that would be available, will be available, and will be utilized to serve the population center. So the county is doing everything they can do to facilitate matters in Coos County. I also can report that, and we're talking about, I believe Senate Bill 1 was mentioned, the DWIL and .15 cases that are actually being tried to the jury down there are in the majority. This is the majority of those cases are second offenders and more. In other words, these people are taking the position that they have nothing to lose, and if they can't get a reduction or if they can't pre-bargain the situation, every one of those cases are going to the jury. I think that's basically what I have to say. Mr. Culver is here. He is president of the Coos County Bar Association.
Thank you.
Mr. Eason, one question,
yes,
if I may. You mentioned the possibility of municipalities turning over their cases. Do you know what sort of a caseload they might have?
I don't really have the statistics on their caseload, but if they did turn over their caseloads, I'm just gauging on what Coos Bay, with some familiarity as to the amount of time that the municipal judge in Coos Bay is working, and I think the North Bend judge is pretty close on their statistics. It would take up probably the greatest part of the day of one full-time judge to handle the caseloads just out of those two courts. Now, I don't know what the decriminalizing of the traffic would tend to do, but as long, clearly, if it remains within the court system, and the Coos Prairie Bar feels that it should remain within the court system, we're still going to have judges.
Thank you.
Thank
Mr. Culver, I think, is here from.
I'm Bill Culver, attorney in Coos Bay, president of the Coos Prairie Bar Association. I reside at 935 Oakway Drive, Coos Bay. I would concur in everything Mr. Easton said in that we do have a dire need for a full-time district court. Workload is mounting and the prison system is falling further and further behind. We have a unique situation. We do not have a justice court in Coos County, and when Coos County got away from the justice court system, Supreme Court mandated that the district court sit each judicial day in the Coos Bay area. And Coquille, which is 17 miles from Coos Bay, 20 miles from North Bend, is the county seat. So it makes it almost imperative that we have a pro tem just to take care of the load of the appearance daily in the north part of the county. I think that I would also agree with Mr. Eason that if the cities of Coos Bay and North Bend return their workload over to the district court, would require a full-time judge. I would estimate that those two municipal judges are working on an average of half day. The workload coming out of Lakeside and Eastside, which my firm represents both of these towns, is very small. So I think it would require quite possibly a full-time, full day's work just to handle the two city municipal courts. If a combined population of two cities of roughly 28,000 people.
Yeah. Are there some real negotiations going on in respect to that? Are you aware of them?
Yes, I am aware. I know that both cities of Lakeside and Eastside that I represent are in favor of it. They want to get out of the municipal court business.
If
the
that happens,
Coos Bay is the same way.
That happens and you get one judge, you aren't going to be any better off than you are now. Is that right?
Possibly not.
Okay. Other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know whether there's anyone here in opposition to Coos. I know no others for it.
Is there anyone in opposition to the judgeship at Coos Bay?
Next county, thank you. The next county, Mr. Chairman, will be Washington County, and I have a memorandum that District Judge Harold Lewis and Mr. Alan Bonebreaker are here from Washington County. Are they here?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
My name is Al Bonebreaker. I'm an attorney, and my address is 126 North 2nd. Hillsboro. I have here some material that's been prepared that I think actually accurately sets forth some statistics and other information I think would be a benefit to the committee if we could pass those around.
Yeah.
At the present time, Washington County is operating with two permanent district court judges. Now, for the past 2 years, we've had a full-time pro tem, so in effect, although we have only two regular permanent district court judges, we've been operating with three, and the problem has been that, quite frankly, we're here asking, of course, that another permanent district court judge position be created, and really, we already have used a judge for the last 2 years. We need him, and I think the material that's been set forth is supportive of that fact. Regarding the physical facilities that we have available, inasmuch as we have had three judges with the pro tem that's been operating, we do have the facilities. We have the courtroom. The courthouse was recently remodeled, as you may know, and we have available a courtroom and chambers and all the facilities for an additional judge if that position is created. The judges in Washington County, I think the counties differ somewhat in the type of cases that traditionally are handled in district court. They all handle certain types of cases, but in Washington County, for instance, just from January 1st, and this is on page 3, from January 1st to September 30th of 1974, you'll note that a little over 20% of the cases heard by the district court judges there are what we would categorize as major offenses, major traffic offenses, the ones that take the time to handle. In Washington County traditionally, and this varies from county to county too, but in Washington County traditionally there have been a great many preliminary hearings in felony cases. The defense bar has demanded them and requested them, and in very few cases in felonies are they waived. This takes a substantial amount of time for the judges, and I think that later on, they're in the material, it's set forth, and on average, there's a preliminary hearing and a half each judicial day handled by the court. And these are hearings that obviously take time. They're not handled swiftly, and the number of witnesses are presented by the state, and they do take time to resolve. On page 4, for instance, setting forth just on average the workload that's handled by the court there now with two judges, and then again for the past 2 years with an additional pro tem. On an average, I'll take that back. On page 6, it indicates that on the average, for last year, our court has handled 2 jury trials per day, 5 court trials a day, and 1.5 preliminary hearings. And these are the matters that take the majority of the time. But in addition, of course, you know that the judges have to handle motions, again, miscellaneous work handled in chambers. Up until recently, Judge Millis had handled most of the mental hearings that were handled in Washington County, and now, of course, he's a circuit court judge. But these are the cases that take the time, the jury trials, the preliminary hearings, and, of course, the court trials. In addition, there's the felony arraignments in the afternoon, the traffic court in the morning, and as I was waiting just to come down here this morning with Judge Lewis, to testify, I was aware that Carl Ferguson, who was our pro tem judge and is now one of has been appointed by the governor to be a regular permanent district court judge, he began, I believe, traffic arraignments at 9 o'clock this morning, and I was at the courthouse to meet Judge Lewis at 11:30 this morning, and I met Judge Ferguson coming out of traffic court. It took him from 9:30 this morning until 11:30 just to handle arraignments on traffic citations, matters of that nature, and he was just beginning his day of trying cases. Well, the day was half over. This is the type of problem we run into now. As you're probably aware, Washington County is one of the fastest growing population-wise counties in the country, and been projected that at the end of this year we'll have 183,600 people. That's as opposed to 15 years ago, 92,000. So the population of the county has doubled, will have doubled probably within the last 15-year period. The
committee probably is interested in knowing what the judges in the various counties have done to try to help the situation that you've heard about today in many of the counties. And I think we're lucky in Washington County in having really the judges are quite innovative in trying to correct the problems they find themselves in with a backlog of cases. One of the things that Judge Lewis has instituted since he was presiding judge was the system of having written pretrial memorandums sent out to the attorneys and with several questions indicating whether or not conscientious efforts have been made to try to settle both criminal and civil cases, what things have been done, what things might the court do in assisting any possible settlement of the matter, and these are required to be handed back into the court clerk well in advance of the trial date. I think that this has been of a great deal of assistance in trying to clear the docket up. In addition, for the past two or three years now, the court has followed the policy of double and actually triple setting jury trials for each position, and you're probably aware of that procedure, but basically what it amounts to is, say for instance, you have two judges and they both anticipate that they will be able to try one jury trial in the morning and one in the afternoon. Actually, two or sometimes three or four jury trials are actually set for each slot with the idea in mind that one or maybe two of the cases will settle out in some manner, and with the hope, of course, that because you have that time set aside for a jury trial, that it actually will be used. Of course, this does cause a hardship, really, on the litigants and on the attorneys, the litigants especially, because in many cases they are summoned to court or they don't actually know until just the day before whether or not their trial is going to be held. But these are two of the things that the judges have tried to do to alleviate the difficulties that have arisen. We have these written pre-trial memorandums that are signed by the parties. Settlement is encouraged in both criminal and civil cases. And we do have this double and triple setting of cases for individual slots on the trial docket. These have to do with jury trials. As I said before, we're not really here asking for you to create something that we don't already have. We have, in fact, the work, and we have, in fact, been using a third district court judge, but in fact, it has been a pro tem judge. We've had him for 2 years. I think the need is clearly demonstrated. As a matter of fact, the backlog of cases is increasing even now with the additional judge that we do have. I believe that's all I have. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to try to answer them. Judge Lewis, presiding judge, is here, as well as his administrative assistant, Sophia Harrison. So
questions of Mr. Blumberg? Apparently not. Thank you.
Thank you.
Judge Lewis?
My name is Harold A. Lewis. I'm presiding judge of the District Court for Washington County. My residence is in Aurora. First of all, I have brought for you a copy of the pretrial conference report that we use in Washington County. In counties with a concentration of population around the county seat, such as Mahoma County, Lane County, Marion County, they find it feasible to have call days and pretrial conferences. In a county like Washington County, it's very difficult for two reasons. One, the number of cases that we have that run into the thousands, and second, the fact that the attorneys are scattered all over the county and don't enjoy coming in for a few minute conferences now and then. So we devised this method of trying to alleviate that problem to determine readiness and for trial and to avoid last minute settlements, which are probably the greatest waste of court time that there is happening today, and it always has been the biggest problem we've had. This method is used to try to ease that by sending this in the mail about 1 month prior to the trial date, used in jury trials only right now, and it is returnable to the court
2 weeks prior to trial. The effort being to encourage counsel to examine their case ahead of time, to settle it in time for us to use the time more advantageously. It has worked. I think it's enabled us to try more cases in 74 than we were able to in 75. We are aware that a lot of cases have got have been settled well prior to trial, and principally a number of cases in the criminal cases, because the district attorney's office was very much for this procedure, participated in the committee that helped work out the procedure, and it caused the district attorney's office to improve their method of examining their case files and settling out those cases which could be removed from the trial docket at least. It has been a helpful thing to us, and we plan to continue the use of it. In looking over our situation and determining the information this committee would be interested in, and also determining how we would be unique, statistically, I guess there's different ways that you can look at things, and you tend to look at it the way that is most advantageous to your own position. Of the counties that request in district courts, Washington County probably has the fewest total cases filed. On the other hand, the interim committee that worked on the proposed Oregon Vehicle Code had determined by surveying 8 counties that the primary work involved in the district court, or what we spend a great deal of our time on, is major traffic offenses. And if it's looked at from that standpoint, Washington County has percentage-wise more major traffic offenses filed than all but one of the other counties. We have a heavy load on major, and principally the driving under the influence case. The only reason for that, as far as I know, is that the police agencies in Washington County are very aggressive in that type of a case. We have what the so-called RIDE program, which is a program specifically designed to attempt to locate and arrest the drinking driver. It does give us a very heavy trial load. And I think the question was raised here, and I'm sure you're interested in Senate Bill 1 and what effect it might have. I had occasion to check over all of the cases, all the driving under the influence cases filed in our court during 1974. And as best we could estimate those cases, 81% of them, actually 81.5%, were first offense driving under the influence. It's a high percentage. I think that you'd find, if you could get the statistics from all counties, that probably about two-thirds would be the normal. I think we have a higher than normal in Washington County that are first offense. I think we have less than normal repeated offenses. And there's a reason for that, because in 1971, in September, our court adopted a policy which involved imposing a jail sentence in virtually every case, including first offense case driving under the influence. We have done that rather consistently. Exceptions have been cases where, by reason of physical documented by doctors, physical problems, or for other very good reason, that a jail sentence could not be withstood. That has caused us to try more of our cases than other counties that have not had that policy. I think we are probably the only county that has followed that consistently, and we started subsequent to the 1971 session of the legislature, where there was a bill attempting to make driving with a .15 a mandatory jail sentence. That we have followed it. It's alluded to in this report that you've been handed. Mr. Bonebrake didn't speak to this, but he did tell me on the way up here that he agreed with that the both the persons charged and the members of the bar do require more trials because of the policy that we've had in our court. the preliminary hearing problem, as he spoke of, is a noticeable thing to us because we do have so many preliminary hearings. We're having trouble with them right now. It's taking 45 to 60 days for us to get them set on the docket, which is proving to be quite awkward for both the court and for the bar. We're working on it and trying to solve the problem. The figure that that we were able to supply in here that we computed that last year, 1974, it required 46 judicial days to conduct preliminary hearings alone. One judge for 46 days, that's a little over 2 months work for preliminary hearings alone. Some counties do not conduct any preliminary hearings at all. The district attorney goes to the grand jury on virtually every case. So our workload doesn't show up statistically in those total cases filed because we did 46 days work that just simply do not show in the statistics. We have all the facilities. We've had them since July of 1973 when our courthouse remodeling was completed and we moved back into the courthouse. We have three courtrooms, four district courts with jury rooms, and we have a fourth courtroom which is used for traffic arraignments only. It can actually handle four district judges with our present existing physical facility.
Judge Lewis, John has a question.
With respect, since you have sort of a tradition there in Washington County of conducting preliminary hearings.
Correct.
Have you noticed or have you had time to have enough experience with the grand jury amendment yet? Do you think that's going to have an effect on your preliminary hearing load?
I think it will. I think it'll make it worse because the district attorney has not yet used that. He's still going through the grand jury and is not yet going to the circuit court. Now, one of the reasons we have so many preliminary hearings is that the district attorney likes to conduct them and sort of test out his case. And I think that if he uses the new provisions that were passed at the last general election, that means that hearings are going to get a little bit longer. I don't think they'll be any more numerous because we're doing almost all of them now. But they'll be a little bit longer because I think they'll call more witnesses to be a little more sure, so they be sure to get the bind over so that they can go straight on to the circuit court.
Savings won't come at the district court level, it'll come at the grand jury.
It'll come saving the expense of the grand jury and perhaps by a fuller hearing, better plea bargaining, or whatever they're going to do, perhaps save some circuit court time. But I think to us it's going to be at our expense time-wise, which I'm concerned about. I've done everything I can to encourage the district attorney to follow the lead of, say, Marion County, where they stop even filing felony complaints in the district court anymore. They go to the grand jury and make probable cause arrest on everything. Save a considerable amount of time. Of course, they don't have that free test of their case either. Sometimes it's a beneficial thing because the state's witnesses come in and they just fall apart right there on the witness stand, and the state decides it perhaps better not pursue this case into the circuit court. So it results in saving some time. It's always been noticeable to us that the preliminary hearings that we have conducted. One other thing that we've probably been the only county in the state where in the district court we have been able to try and have based our docket on trying two jury cases per day per judge. Now, you've heard of two cases a day before, but not per judge. And there are days when we can try as many as four jury cases in one day utilizing two judges to do it. We are right now, we're just losing that. The trials are taking longer. The morning trials are going through the noon hour and are not leaving sufficient time to get started on an afternoon trial, and we're about to abandon it. And that, to us, is a very serious thing because the backlog in the docket that we have now, which for two judges would be 13 months, we have three judges, so it computes out to about 8 months instead. If we were to lose our
ability to try what we have lost. It means that we just doubled our backlog on how long it's going to take to get the jury cases disposed of. Okay, now the figures are here in the report. I've tried to take a note from your book to put a summary on the front of our report, which capsule form, maybe not fully descriptive, but the capsule form tells you what's in this. Subsequent questions, I think that's...
Any questions of Judge Lewis? All right, thank you, Judge.
Okay, we have one other person here that I would like you to listen to for just a few minutes, the Sophie Harrison, who is the court administrator and recently been also added as the clerk of the district court for Washington County. And I wanted her to show you graphically what we do with the setting of the case.
That'll be fine.
I'm Sophie Harrison, District Court Administrator for Washington County. I'm going to not talk very much about statistics. I think you've heard a lot about that. I just wanted to show you briefly how we set for Washington County. There's one judge. Well, and then find the same day. I'll show you the same day. When I started to work for Washington County 3 years ago, I did all the docketing by myself and had time left over to do some of the other things. About a year and a half ago, we had to hire another docket clerk, and he works full time, and I still spend about three quarters of my time on this company. Now, I could show you here how we set. These red ones are for jury trials. And as Mr. Bonebreak pointed out, we set a good many per day. Right now, we set for one judge on a Monday morning. We only have one jury trial going, but we set three extra ones for position two for backup cases. The reason we do that is so that we won't waste court time. We assign them out the day before, and call each one, find out who's going to try what, and that way, if a position one goes off, is settled or waived, then we can try number two. And court trials are running behind, too. I think, as we've pointed out, it's all... If we stick with three judges, we're still going behind. We've been using three all along. And I really can't see any way it's going to go except behind us.
Question from Ms. Harrison?
You're not playing legal with exhibits.
No, sir. No, I just thought you might like to see those. Some that around a little bit. You can see, gentlemen, that the judges are busy.
There's be
no way
complaint.
They can do much more than they are doing.
Any other questions? Fine, thank you very much.
We'll deliver these to you over here.
Mr. Chairman, with reference to Klamath County, I recognize it's a rare day when any lawyer from Jackson County is allowed or permitted to speak on behalf of the lawyers of Klamath County. However, this morning, Mr. Wayne Blair, president of the Klamath County Bar Association, was planning to come, but an unusual condition prevailed in Klamath County this morning. It was snowing quite hard. It was also snowing in Medford, but United was still flying. And consequently, I do wish to state on behalf of their bar association that he said statistically 17,500 cases were filed in their district court last year. That's their statistics. That's approximately 17,500 cases. They have one regular district court judge, as I understand the picture, and they have an additional pro tem district court judge. They would like to have and feel that they need an additional district court judge to handle the additional position. Their pro tem, they feel, should be either appointed on a permanent basis or some other plan devised for the establishment of an additional district court there, because in effect, the pro tem has been working almost on a continuous basis. That's a report for that county. Now, Mr. Chairman, with reference to the Tillamook problem,
I have one other, if I may.
Oh, yes,
we have an amendment here from Union County. Mr. Mammon is there, I think, the only witness in connection with that. Is that correct?
We have Mr. Rickert.
Oh, that's fine. It's Union, a joint one for Union as well.
Double the judiciary. It's
going to
be a lawyer shortage.
We're going to get to Tillamook yet.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to explain to the committee that I need to catch the 5 o'clock plane to get home because I have commitments there at 7:30 tomorrow morning. And with your indulgence, I'll clip out, and I'm quite sure that the Tillamook Bar can take care of itself. Most of them are here.
I know it's well represented.
And I do believe that laymen are here, and I might respectfully suggest that perhaps they'd like to speak, and then the Bar Association will take them on or do whatever you think.
Right. Well, I certainly appreciate Mr. Van Dyke you coming up here and the trouble you've gone to.
Well, you've been very kind. We did a lot of phoning, and we certainly had a good response. They're very interested. Thank you. I'll stay until it's time to go.
That's fine.
Thank you.
You feel free to leave whenever you feel you have to.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am Dale Mammon, District Attorney for Union County at 405 Balsa and LeGrand. The proposal and the amendment that you will be considering today is somewhat different and I believe unique in that we're not asking for a district court for one county, but for two counties. And you have before you a map of Oregon, which represents in the blue those counties which now are serviced by district court, and the red indicates the proposed new district court for Tillamook County and for the 10th Judicial District in Union and Lalor County. And I would like to preface my remarks today by referring very briefly to the Governor's Commission on Judicial Reform report, section 1.03 or 1.3, and some of the comments. This is the proposal for the regarding the creation of district courts for the entire state of Oregon. This recommendation would require the creation of only two new district courts, one for the enlarged 8 judicial district, Union, Lalor, and Baker counties, and then one for Mount Hiarnay County. More important, the following: uniformity in the jurisdiction of courts throughout a court system is generally viewed as an important part of any program to streamline the organization of the court. Since many of Oregon's counties do not now have a district court, and a district court caseload is handled by justice court and the circuit court for the county, Oregon does not have uniformity in jurisdiction throughout the state. what we have in Union and Wallowa County is a situation. We have two counties. Union County has approximately 20,000 in population. Wallowa County, most of the year, has roughly 6,500 population. We are serviced by one circuit court judge who rides the circuit, spends a great deal of his time traveling the 70, 80 miles between Union and Wallowa County. And these counties are the only counties in Northeast Oregon, or the counties in Northeast Oregon, which are experiencing the most rapid population growth. And I'm not sure you can see it, but I would like to point out some of the things that is happening. County population changed between 1970 and 73. Union County experienced a 7.9% population growth, Wallowa County a 4.4%. This is compared with a 2.6 in Baker County, 3.3 in Umatilla County, 2.6 in Morrow County, Grant County 6.1, and minus population in those counties indicated in red. This proposal is certainly not new. We appeared last year before this same committee with last year, as we have again this year, a resolution endorsed by the Union County Court and signed on December 11, 1974, endorsing, be it resolved that the Union County Court unanimously endorses the position of the Union Wallowa County Bar Association in its resolution requesting the 1975 legislature establish and organize a district court for the 10th Judicial District, Union and Wallowa County. And I would leave this as an exhibit.
Fine, thank you.
Like to. In addition to the population that would be serviced by the creation of a district court in Union and Wallowa County, some almost 30,000 people. This area is experiencing another population explosion, and that is in the area of attorneys. In 1968, there were 10 practicing attorneys in Union County, and I believe three or four in Wallowa County. In 1974, Union County now has 16 practicing attorneys, and since I prepared this report about a month ago, we have another one. Wallowa County has had an increase in the past 2 years of 4 new attorneys, making a total of 9 practicing attorneys in Union Wallowa County. This is a total of 25 attorneys, including a circuit judge, 1 circuit judge, 2 DAs, and 1 deputy district attorney. All being serviced by one single law-trained judge serving the two counties. He happens to be a new judge that was just elected, and he's got his hands full for the next few years. As I indicated, we have been anticipating the creation of a district court in this area for several years. Waiting for the proper time. 3 years ago, Union County had 3 Justice of the Peace districts. On January 1st, 1973, the Union County Court abolished one of these districts, merging it with the LeGrand District. And again, on August the 21st, 1974, the second Justice of the Peace district was abolished. So now we have 1 Justice of the Peace district in Union County. This district is serviced by a very good lay judge who happens to be 72 years of age in July and has given us notice that he will not be serving beyond that date. We've almost had to beg him from day to day and week to week to continue on. So we are faced, I feel, with a very critical need immediately with some type of judicial change in our area. The Bar Association, the county courts have recognized that now is the time to upgrade our judicial system and to provide for the second lawyer judge in this area. It would have an additional real benefit, we believe, in serving the two-county area, in that the district judge, as he rides circuit in Mullaway County, could also service the circuit court responsibilities in Mullaway County. There has been and will continue to be a cooperative effort between the two counties. There is a program right now to consolidate the judicial or the juvenile court in the two counties. So in addition to serving as a district judge, the circuit or the district judge could serve as a circuit judge pro tem in Mullaway County and vice versa. And we feel that it would certainly be to a great advantage to all the people in these counties. Now, what about the workload? Very briefly, you've heard all kinds of statistics on that today, but I would like to make one point. As to what the current caseload. Now you recognize here that we're really comparing apples and oranges when we compare the caseload of district court judges and that of JP, because certainly the justice or the district courts have a greater civil responsibility, and even though their number of cases in criminal would not be increased, there would certainly, and I can vouch for the fact that there will be an increase in the preliminary hearing process. We've already instituted that increase, and there will certainly be a greater use of a preliminary hearing. In any event, we're looking at 1974 total caseload of 6,400 plus cases. I recognize this is a lot of traffic cases, and this is for Union County alone. Mr. Ricker from Mullaway County will have some rough data on that. Where does this compare with the other district or other counties serviced by district court? In the handout following the page where the map is, we find that there are currently three counties, Wasco, Hood River, and Curry County, with fewer cases than would be serviced by the district judge in Union County alone. If we add Mullaway County, there could be up in the Polk, Deschutes, Columbia County. Now, this is 1973 cases. At this time, I would like to call on Mr. Ricker, and then maybe we can both be available for questions regarding some of the potential problems with implementation of a district court in the two-county area.
Fine. Mr. Ricker, will you come forward then? Two of you can just remain there at the table.
Thank you.
I'm Lauren Ricker. I live in Enterprise, Oregon. Practiced law there better than 20 years. Might say for the record also, about 8 or 10 years ago, I served as JP for 19 months. Might add a few comments to what Dale has already said. Although Mullaway County has a population of approaching about 7,000 now, it is on the increase. There are certain times of the year, and maybe many of you have been up there. I noticed you have a picture of our beautiful Mullaway Lake. During the summertime, our population is increased by about 100,000 per month. In other words, it's about 300,000 people visit Mullaway County during the summer. And then comes elk season, and we get another 20,000-25,000. And of course, during the summer, with Chief Joseph Days, 3-day weekend, it's not a bit unusual to see 300 to 400 tickets. Cases come into the Justice Court. I didn't know this hearing was today. I didn't give it the fact Dale called me yesterday, right before noon. I left this morning at 5 o'clock and drove down. So I don't have the exact figures, but I can estimate that the caseload in the two justice courts, I would say, would be at least 2,500 a year. Perhaps it's reaching up towards 3,000 cases. Now, added to Union County, that would give a district judge about all he could handle. I definitely am for upgrading the court system. As I said, I took the JP job a few years ago out of because I was mad at the system and tried it. I think I improved it. I know it was a lot better judicial system than it was before. But as Dale mentioned, it'd be very important to Wallowa County to have a district judge who would be in circuit and would have to be in Wallowa County, say, 1 or 2 days a week. As it is with our circuit judge, and he does an excellent job, some months we see him maybe once or twice. There are numerous important orders we need to get signed, probate matters. It's a matter of using the question U.S. mails now, or get in our car and drive 66 miles to LeGrand to get an order signed. Whereas a district judge being there more often could set pro tem in circuit court and could sign orders for us. It would save the 9 attorneys now practicing there, as Dale mentioned. We just got 3 new young ones in, and they are eager. So our caseload is going to be increasing. I might say they're eager and hungry.
Where were they trained, sir, you know?
Well, I have one in my office.
Do you have any students that went there?
That's what I was wondering. I might also just mention for the record that the delay in our justice court, I have one drunk driving. It's been pending 2 years now. Of course, I'm not going to raise it. A couple years ago, I did clean the record, filed motions to dismiss about 5. Of course, the justice, JP, turned them down, and I appealed to circuit court. We cleaned the record. It's about time we're going to have to do it again. So, definitely, I am for the district court. I think we have a caseload that qualifies as much as any district. It can serve many different ways.
Questions of either of these gentlemen?
There was one other point that I would like to make, okay. And that is next to the last page is a copy of the, I think, the 1973 report of the Supreme Court. I looked down to the 10th Judicial District. You will note that the circuit court filings have increased from 342 in 1964 to 608, almost double in 1973, and I don't have the data yet for 1974. So the circuit court is going up as well as
the usual things on the lot of these are district court jurisdiction 2500.
Questions? Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
I might also just one more comment. Our juvenile is still handled by our county judge, so we've got really the old system in Wallowa County, which again could be transferred to the district court.
Yeah, question.
Do you have any amendments that you are? Is that what you wanted just in the bill? We'll just put in, I take it, that we would just add in someplace on there.
What we have here, and the procedure has been a little unusual because we have a LC draft of a bill here, but for the purposes of this discussion, Mr. Representative Patterson asked that it be considered an amendment, and we'll have to work on it at a later time.
I understand.
Okay. Trying to accommodate everyone in one day. Yes, David?
The gentleman came all the way from 5 o'clock this morning. We certainly appreciate you taking the time.
I'm one of those 300,000.
Come on, Bob.
You may have to come back and wait.
We'll be here.
It's
Tillamook time, I guess. And I know something about milking cows in Tillamook, but any of these people
have somebody hired to milk cows, I don't have to hurt anyone.
And you're the only...
By the way, I wouldn't think of jumping in front of a circuit court judge. Let them, they're the proponents, let them tell the story and we'll talk about it.
Well, let me suggest this. As I look the group over, I think perhaps Warren McMenemy is the dean of the group is here. In any event, would you sort of like to moderate it, Warren, as Frank Van Dyke did?
I'd be very happy to, but we would prefer in as much as they've already had about half of it. I don't know how much.
Well, Mr. Chairman, these people didn't get where they are by not being smart. They are smart. I want to hear their part. They want us to go first. Then they can shoot us down. Let's do it the way you've always done it for years and years and years. Let the proponents go first, and then we'll go with them.
Okay, I made an exception in case the representative is Hanneman, and we do it for representatives, Warren. I'd appreciate it if you go ahead.